When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Oh, yeah. How about that? Yes. It's time. The best show. Back again on another Tuesday night. My name is Tom Sharpling. I'm the host of the program. We have an exciting show planned for you tonight. What? In studio. Later in the show, we're going to have the one and only Sharon Horgan will be here, and the one and only Hayes Davenport will be here, and the topic we'll be talking about on and off throughout the show is what now? Oh, that's right. It's the 50 people. Let me get this right. Hold on. I'm going to get it right. The top 50 people you wouldn't want to be handcuffed to. So you call in 201-3-323-4844 is the number. The top 50 people you wouldn't want to be handcuffed to. We'll be talking about that all night. And other things, surprises and whatnots. You get ready for that. Jeepers creepers, man. It's going to be fun. I hope you'll stay. Wait, come back. Please, give me one more chance, won't you? I know this introduction was not the world's most entertaining, but I'm trying. All right. This is the best show. Ah, wrong thing. Oh, I'm going to smash someone. The coolest intro I've ever given. This is the best show. Play the wrong thing. I'm going home. Hey, Mike. When Sharon and Hayes get here, just tell them I left. They can come on and plug a couple things, and then everybody can leave. What? Oh, yeah, open mic night. Yeah, it's like a coffee shop. I tell you, man, some of these coffee shops got to knock that off. There's this one that I really liked, like a non-chain one. It's like, oh, this is great. Local coffee place. Then suddenly I go in there, acoustic guitar playing. Now I'm rude for wanting to just like keep my head down and just look at the put the headphones on and look at what's on my computer screen. I'm rude now. I'm the bad guy because I'm not watching this guy up there doing a hang down your head, Tom Dooley. Hang down your head and cry. Hang down your head, Tom Dooley. Poor boy, you're bound to die. Hang down. Yeah, I'm rude because they're all look. I'm sitting. The problem is I'm sitting right in the middle of it. The guy's like 4 feet from my head. I was getting hit in the head with his tuning pegs. So he's playing song after song after song after song after song after song. I just wanted to hear a song like this song that tells you, once again, yes, the best show's back. 201-332-3484. Gonna hit the post in 3, 2, 1.
Show. Show number one, the best show.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Start doing a fake radio voice. Like some people on the team. Look. I didn't say it. I'm only going by what Gary the Squirrel said. I was listening to this thing. Hey, by the way, this is the best show. My name's Tom Sharpling. We have an exciting show for you tonight. Star of Catastrophe and Pulling and many other things. Sharon Horgan will be in the studio. Joined by the amazing, the one and only Hayes Davenport, he of Hollywood Handbook fame. Cannot wait. The topic tonight, we are talking about the top 50 people you wouldn't want to be handcuffed to. The top 50 people you would not want to be handcuffed to. We'll be talking about that all night. It's going to be an extravaganza of comedy. And I was referencing a show I heard on the Best Show Network. Gary the Squirrel's Broadcasting Boot Camp, Episode 1. Where Gary the Squirrel took two of the producers on the show. Jason Gore, a.k.a. Dudio, the dude who built the studio, a.k.a. Slaw Dog. Oh, wait, I wasn't supposed to mention Slaw Dog. Sorry. And Pat Byrne. And he put them through the paces in terms of teaching them broadcasting. And then Gary kept calling out Jason for having a fake radio voice. Which I don't hear it. So that's where Gary and I part. I don't hear it. I hear just the mellifluous sounds of a man who paints with his voice box. Whether he's telling you that there's a two for Tuesday coming up. Will you get two Fog Hat songs, a back-to-back Fog Hat coming up? Or a special one-hour rock block tribute to Aerosmith, 90s-era Aerosmith. It's coming up. That's what I hear when I hear Dudio talk. So if you want to get that, you go to thebestshow.net. You can download that Gary the Squirrel's Broadcasting Boot Camp there, the debut episode. Music! Oh my goodness, what did we hear? We heard two things, two new things. The first, the second thing we heard, we're going from back to front, Ravi Shavi on Almost Ready Records, a brand new EP called Independent. The name of the song we heard is The Ruins. I love Ravi Shavi. The album was great, and this EP is great. And it's Almost Ready Records, and that's almostreadyrecords.com for all of your Ravi Shavi needs. And starting us off, Giorgio Murderer. No, that's not Giorgio Moroder. Giorgio Murderer. Great album. New record's called Holographic Vietnam War. And we heard the theme from Bill and Ted versus Grey Goo. Okay. That was the name of the song. Look, we're running out of titles, everybody. I don't blame them. So they named the song Theme from Bill and Ted versus Grey Goo. What are you supposed to call it? Can't Stop Dancing? That's been taken. Wait, is there a song called Can't Stop Dancing? Maybe that's the new... Well, I'm writing a new thing for... I figure Google needs a new thing for 2 years from now for their thing. That would be a pretty good... all-purpose kind of hit song. Can't Stop Dancing. Can't Stop Dancing.
Feel the beat. Feel the heat. Feel the beat. And then I can't stop dancing.
It'd be like a good song for like that one of those Black Eyed Peas. The other two to work on. Do you think they are ever just like, and I know talking about the other two Black Eyed Peas is a little worn out. They must still sometimes be just like, we can do it. These other two aren't paying attention. We can knock them out. But maybe at this point, no one's talking like that in the Black Eyed Peas camp. What's probably going on is that they have to, like, plot out, like, when they'll meet to talk about a new project. As if, like, something good is getting together. Like, it's like when Metallica must talk about these new albums. Like, the idea, we're talking about doing a new album. Who cares? Nobody cares. And we're rehearsing. These bands rehearse. They talk about working on a new album for 4 years. We've just been jamming a lot and taking different riffs and putting stuff together. And we're really going to just build out a new album. Okay. Nobody asking you. Nobody wants it. All they want to hear when they go to the show is Master of Puppies. That's all they want to hear. Master! Master! Master of Puppies. Brrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrr They don't want to hear no new stuff.
Here's one from St. Anger.
Okay. I am going to check out the t-shirts. But then that's how they get you too. They play a song so bad that you go buy a $60 t-shirt.
I showed them. They started playing the new stuff. I walked out.
Oh, you left?
No, I went to the merch table and bought a $60 three-quarter sleeve baseball jersey with the old stuff on it. It's got the cover of Master of Puppies on it. I didn't get the new thing. They think I'm an idiot.
I wonder if when they look out at the stage, they just see, like, piles of money. Like, everybody just looks like money at a Metallica show. What if they just started calling the audience money?
We thank you, money! We're here to play for you tonight, money.
There ain't no spirit behind none of that stuff. What did I want to tell you about? Well, my friends, some very exciting news. Last year, Sharpling and Worcester took their comedic stylings to the city of Nashville. We performed at Third Man Records, a sold-out show at Third Man Records. What a great night that was. And that show was recorded for an album that is available on Third Man Records for pre-order. It has happened. Finally, the album you've been waiting for comes out on July 1st. Go to thirdmanstore.com. Pre-order your copy. It's a really good album. Great, comedy, great music, all kinds of stuff, and you're not going to want to miss it. You're not going to want to miss it. Pre-order it over at thirdmanstore.com. Sharpling and Worcester live at Third Man Records. Pre-order started today. Get your copy. And if that wasn't enough, the Best Show mural is still up till the end of June. Where is it? I don't know. No, it's in It's in New York City. Attention, people of New York City. The Best Show mural is up, standing proud. And everybody who gets their picture taken in front of it. I was going to do one a day. I'm just giving it to everybody. Everybody, you go get your picture taken in front of it. It is at, it's on the corner of Wyckoff Avenue and Norman Street by the Halsey L Stop, in the Bushwick Ridgewood, on the Bushwick Ridgewood border of New York City. For the month of June, you get your picture taken in front of it, you hashtag it to me, Best Show Rules NYC. I'm going to send everybody something. Everybody who does that gets something. How about that? Never say the Best Show don't do nothing for you. Who's good here, Mike? Who? One. See oatmeal out there? Mushmouth. Tighten it up, Mushmouth. Oatmeal's for breakfast. Best Show.
Hi, is this Tom?
This is Tom. To whom am I speaking?
This is Jonah from Elgin, Illinois.
Jonah from where now?
Elgin, Illinois. It's a suburb of Chicago.
Okay. What's going on tonight, Jonah?
Just recuperating from surgery.
Oh, no. Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm all right. Actually, if you wouldn't mind me complimenting you, I've been really sick the last 3 years.
I gotta say, I do mind you complimenting. And of course I don't. Please. All people say is mean stuff to me. You're calling up, you're going to say something nice? Say, by all means, say it. Say the nice thing.
I've been really sick the last 3 years, like really, really sick.
Oh, no.
And I can't tell you how much the Best Show's been there for me. I've been in the hospital and just listening to Best Shows after Best Shows, and there's been so many weeks when it's like the only thing I'm looking forward to, and last week's show really, really hit home with me, so I just wanted to thank you for that.
Well, Jonah, I appreciate that. You're doing, did the surgery go well?
Yeah, it went all right. It's, you know, yeah, it's not the worst I've had, so it's going okay.
Okay, but you're hanging in there, right?
Yeah.
Good. I need you to hang in there, buddy. Hang in there.
Thank you, Tom.
Yes, go ahead.
Sir, I also have one for the topic.
All right. The topic being the top 50 people that you would not want to be handcuffed to. And it's the hashtag online is top 50 handcuff. Top 50 handcuff. And they're pouring in. I'm looking at a cavalcade of people like, sure, I wouldn't want to be handcuffed to HR Puff and stuff either. That does not seem like someone fun to be handcuffed to, right? The guy from LMFAO, I'm not sure I want to be handcuffed to him. But I want to hear who my friend Jonah suggests. But until he calls in, I'll listen to what this guy named Jonah has to say. before you give the thing, before you give the thing, Jonah, just hold on. Just listen to this music. Hey, Mike, he can't hear me now, right? Guys like this call in. Look, I want the guy to be well and everything, right? It's like a bummer to start the show, this guy. Because, look, I know he's like not doing well with his health and everything, and I want all the best for him. But independent of that, he's boring. Like, this guy could be fit as a fiddle and he'd still be putting me to sleep. Now I got to talk to him about his surgery. All right, I better get back. Hey, Jonah, you're back on the show. What's up, buddy? So what do you got for the topic, pal?
I have two. One is any of the murder junkies or Texas Nazis?
Any. So you're just saying that's a freestanding pick. to not be handcuffed to any murder junkie and or Texas Nazi.
Yeah. Or the other is any Joe Pesci character from a Scorsese film.
All right, give me someone specific. But let's talk real. Let's not talk characters. You wouldn't mind being handcuffed to Joe Pesci, though, right? Would not be the all-time worst, would it?
No, that could be potentially interesting.
Yeah, so let's take that off the list. Let's go with Dino Sex from the drummer from the Murder Junkies. Dudio? He went out. What is this? I tell you, man, it's straight up clown town in here sometimes. God, Mike's out there eating a bowl of oatmeal, and he's putting this guy through who's running me through like I'm working at his insurance company. He's telling me all his stuff like I'm here denying him coverage. I got this guy doing that. Mike's got a mouthful of oatmeal, and Dudio leaves. Who knows where he is? So I'm going to put Dino Sex 40. He goes number 40 on the list.
Thank you, Tom.
Of course. And look, buddy, you keep staying strong and you keep getting better and keep doing it. We need you.
Thank you very much.
All right,
Thank you.
Take care of yourself.
Bye.
Bye. Best show.
Hello.
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 Hi.
Hi.
To whom am I speaking?
Beth.
Beth.
Mm-hmm.
Beth, where are you calling from?
Long Island.
Long Island. Very interesting. Are you a lifelong Long Islander?
No, I was born in Jackson Heights.
You're born in Jackson Heights.
Mm-hmm.
And what made you move to Long Island? You wanted to be closer to the source, right? Right? What's the matter with the clothes I'm wearing? Right? You want to see where the stuff went? There's the house he crashed into. See that house? That's the one house Billy Joel crashed into. And then over there, he crashed into that other house. Come to think of it, I'll show you the houses he didn't crash into. Just imagine what that's like. You're asleep. Your house gets crashed into, which would be the scariest thing ever. And then you get out, and then there's a Billy Joel. And he's just like, what's he doing then? Is he singing a song? Is he just like trying to like charm you into not calling the cops? Right?
Yeah.
Because what's right?
Right.
What's he doing? Like, and we will all go down together. Right?
Mm.
All over your lawn. Right? Mm. All right, Beth. To what do I owe the pleasure of this call?
I have a couple for the topic.
All right. What do you got?
Charlie Sheen,
okay. Interesting.
Well, I don't know if this is a little bit too old of a reference, but someone from, remember the show The Chair?
Do I remember the show The Chair? Who do you think you're talking to? Of course I do.
Any one of them, Shane or Chris Moore, even the
Shane
girl.
Dawson. So you're saying you don't want to be handcuffed to U2 superstar? Shane Dawson, who you know, he must be going around looking at these Lily Singh billboards. He must be furious. Right?
He has a podcast, and he's just very
bitter. Oh, great. Of course he does. Welcome to the world of broadcasting, Shane Dawson. What's this clown saying that anybody else isn't saying better?
He just insults other YouTubers, basically. Ugh. And also his co-host is Jesse Buttafuoco, Joey Buttafuoco's daughter.
Well, Beth... I have never done Billy Joel in his most outrageous driving incident. Never did a 180 the way I'm doing on this podcast. I went from thinking it sounds like the last thing I'd want to listen to I'm going to put it as my third favorite podcast ever because it's Shane Dawson, YouTube superstar.
Yeah.
Paired with the, who is it? The son of Joey Buttafuoco?
The daughter.
The daughter of Joey, Jessie Buttafuoco.
Mm-hmm. And, like, she's not, like, shy about it. Like, she'll, like, reference it. Like, someone will be like, oh, I broke my leg a couple years ago. And she's like, my mom survived getting shot in the head. It's okay. And it's just really awkward.
Well, that sounds like a charming program.
It is.
So, yes, I'm going to say Shane Dawson, 32, goes on the list. You wouldn't want to be handcuffed to Shane Dawson.
No.
YouTube superstar, Shane Dawson.
Yeah.
Anything else, Beth?
No, that's good.
All right. Have a grand evening.
You too.
I'm being told to go to the hotline, that we have a call coming in here. I'm told the hotline, I'm being told not to bother with the and I don't mean this the wrong way, the nobodies and the nothings who are calling the regular phone number. I'm being told that there's an actual rock star on the hotline. Is this true?
Hey, hello.
Hey, who is this? Is this Neil?
Hey, yeah, it's Neil.
Neil Haggerty, my favorite. The rock rock legend, Neil Haggerty, right?
Yeah. Keep it coming, man. I like
it. Right? The guitar, he played guitar in Pussy Galore, one of the all-time greatest bands. And then leaves Pussy Galore, goes off, starts Royal Trucks, one of the all-time greatest bands. Then that blows up, and then he starts Howling Hex, one of the all-time greatest bands.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, how do you do it? How do you do it, Neil Haggerty?
I don't know. But it cheers me up to hear you talk about it. That's very nice.
Well, you done did it. The proof is in the pudding. You got a new album out now called Denver.
Yeah.
On Drag City.
Yeah.
It's such a great album.
Well, thanks.
So, Neil, you just finished your, you've been checking in with us over the last month or so, because you went on tour. You were touring the continent, as they say.
Yeah, the continent.
And
the EU.
How was that?
It was amazing. Yeah, it was good.
You and the rest of the Howling Hex.
Yeah.
Rocking it out.
Yeah. The big stages.
What would be the highlight? What was the highlight of your European tour?
I can't really say. Just, I don't know, driving maybe.
All right, not the shows, the driving.
Man, I drove from Nice to Barcelona in some stick shift car.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as you know, yeah, that was hard to beat.
All right. You're out there, putting miles down.
Yeah. In the sun.
In the sun. Guitars in the back.
Well, actually, we just had everything waiting for us at the...
Okay. Guitars not in the back.
No
guitars! So I'm going to just spin it the other way. No guitars. No.
Oh, sorry.
No.
I should have said yes, right?
That's no! Right. You got to look. I want the real deal here, Neil.
That's what I was worried about, being on hold, because I was trying to think of things to say. So.
Oh, you just don't worry. I'm going to ask you a few questions.
All right.
You know that song you have on the new album? Well, the second song on the album? The one where...
Oh, yeah, the Colfax. Yeah, you're asking me about Colfax.
Yeah, and you say in the lyrics, you're like, the DJ had a coconut latte. He told the man to put it on ice, right?
Yeah, those lyrics were written by Lexi Mountain and me together about Denver. She came out and stayed with us. And like,
I thought that was about me, but it's not.
No.
Hurt my feelings.
You think of yourself as a DJ?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Playing your record a lot.
Yeah.
You think I'm more than a DJ, Neil Haggerty?
Oh, I think, you're creating an entire universe of fictional radio land, you know. I love it.
You know what? I don't need to be in the dumb song. Not the song's dumb. I don't need to be in it. This is better than that. You just said I'm creating a universe, a world builder.
Yeah, you are.
Thank you. How do you feel, Neil Haggerty? The NBA finals are over.
Yeah, it's been weird. I missed almost all of it. I have to go watch they put those DVDs out or whatever, you know, for the...
The championship season.
It was weird, yeah.
But isn't it crazy that a team is as hot and as fighting for all-time status as the Golden State Warriors, that they would run out of gas on the final game?
Yeah, I was like, both outcomes were just, you know, negative to me. So it was like, I didn't really enjoy, you know what I mean? Like, the setup to it.
You didn't enjoy
it? It was pretty good. No, either way, whoever won, it would have been a bummer to me, because the other one would have to have lost.
Oh, I see. I see that. But I was,
if the Thunder had beaten the Warriors, that would be a different story. Then I would have been all over that.
Well, then you would have been all Thunder.
Oh yeah, that would have been amazing. But you know, I like LeBron James. You know, so it's like, that's cool.
Well, you should like him, because it's just like a guy like, it's like anybody, all these people, now there's people just saying like, he doesn't have the killer instinct. And like, they're trying to just do anything to bring him to like, this dude passed the test. He is unimpeachable until the end of time in terms of basketball, his accomplishments.
Yeah. There's just something, some people just have this, something they don't like about him. I don't know what it is.
I don't know. You know what they don't like? They don't like somebody who's supposed to be good, and then they stay good.
That's that goes against like American values or something. Is that missing the? Doesn't make a lot of sense, really. Right?
I don't get it sometimes. Now, people want a couple questions. Somebody wants to know here. What's your favorite David Briggs produced album?
Oh, that was, I was saying it was the 12 Dreams of Dr. Sardonicus. You know, that spirit. It sounds like it was recorded in the mid-80s or something. It's just weird, like, it's all analog, but you got this weird sound. It's like, I don't know.
Spirit.
Spirit.
Spirit are about to get very rich, maybe.
Yeah, the estate of, Captain Copter and the Twirly Birds.
Yeah. Right? How funny is the band Spirit when you think of it? It's just like, it's these dudes, and then one of them is just like, hey, I think, was it his father-in-law?
Or was his dad? The drummer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was just
like an 80-year-old guy?
Yeah, it was just his dad played. Suddenly it's like, hey, who's going to be our drummer? Well, maybe, what if my dad drums with us?
And then maybe, you know, he was impressive, something like that.
But you'd see
the ball head dude, right?
Yeah, you'd see these videos of it, and there'd be just like this old, this like ancient dude, like really holding it down on the drums while he's...
You know what? They paved the way for Midnight Oil. You just made me see that.
Yeah, he was the proto Peter Garrett.
Yeah, man, that's amazing. He probably created tens of thousands of jobs.
giving hope. So you're saying he gave? Yeah,
you know, a lot in Australia. I bet there's a lot of dudes that are like big stars that look like that.
Inspiring. It's an inspiring story. It's a story of heroism.
Yeah, I'd like to see that. That would be better than Whiplash or one of those other movies about music.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. I'm with you on that. Now, Neil, when does Howling Hex come back on the road again? When does that happen in the U.S.?
They're due in September, yeah. It's going to be cool.
And is that coast to coast?
That was just going to be the East Coast, and then we have to do the West Coast, like, later on.
All right. We'll be in attendance.
Yeah, we'll leave tickets for you. At every show, right? We'll do.
I like that.
Yeah.
You hear that, Mike? Yeah. Don't let Mike in. I'm telling you.
Yeah,
Mike's
I want to tell Mike, we listened to a lot of Greetings from Asbury Park when we were in Europe, man. Forgot to mention this. Does he like that? What does that rate with him?
Mike, where does that rate with you?
On the...
Yeah, the first album. Board. He where?
Bruce Springsteen.
He said it's not his favorite. He said it's not his favorite.
He likes the river.
He likes Lucky Town and Human Touch. That's more.
Oh,
he likes the stuff without the E Street Band.
Oh wow! So as an entity, he likes those two as a pair.
Yeah, he likes the pair. He likes that song 57 Channels and.
All right.
Right. Somebody wants to know who do you think the world's greatest boogie band is, Neil?
Oh, wow.
Haggerty of Pussy Galore, Royal Trucks, and Howling Hex fame, whose new album, Denver, is available on Drag City Records right now. .com.
I think the Howling Hex is the world's greatest.
Oh, that's the right answer. That's what you do. You loop it back to yourself. What are you supposed to do?
Well, I got to be honest, man. That's all. You know.
Yeah, you guys are laying it down pretty thick now.
Oh, wait, yeah.
You're not messing around anymore.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. In a good way. You mean in a good
way? Oh, in a good way. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. You're laying on thick to me as a competition of like you're lying.
Oh no. I meant you guys are just you're pushing it hard. You're not holding back.
Yeah, I guess it's my job or something. I don't know.
Well, it's a dirty job, but someone's got to do it, and you doing it, Neil Haggerty.
Oh, thank you so much.
All right, buddy. I got a full show here, but I wanted to talk to you about. I'm glad the tour went well.
The guests look really great. I'm gonna check them out. Yeah.
All right, it's gonna be good. I'll talk to you later.
Thanks,
buddy.
Tom.
Okay.
Yeah. Bye.
All right. So the song wasn't about me. I'll recover. I'll cry in the car tonight. Look at some of these pictures of people want handcuffed. To be handcuffed to Pendulette. Yeah, that's a pretty rough one. Geraldo. Ooh. Yeah. George Will. Oh, brother. Oh, brother. As we say in the game, oh, brother. What game? The Zinger game. My friends, this is the time I want to tell you, the best show listener. Look, do I know what I'm doing when I make food? No, I don't. It's hard. I don't know what to do. I end up just eating a pile of hummus. I stick the dip things in it like carrots in it, then run out of those in it, and I pretend my fingers are carrot sticks. I don't know what I'm doing, so that's why I, for one, am grateful for Blue Apron. Why? Get a load of this. Blue Apron. This is a company. They send the food right to your house. And it's less than $10 a meal. You get these pre-portioned ingredients to make delicious home-cooked meals. And it works out. It's like less than $10 a meal. You got good, and it's good stuff. It's good stuff. You know what I had the other night? You know what I had? Steakhouse salmon with a vegetable medley of thyme, potatoes, green beans, and mushrooms in lemon vinaigrette. It was so good. And they have all the information, all the steps of doing it on these cards, and it walks you through to do the ingredients and the measurements so you can make it again if you want. It's really fantastic. You know the sequence so it's all ready at the same time. Meals in June, they have spicy Korean rice cakes with snow peas and pea shoots, sweet chili ponzu, catfish, and green beans with coconut ginger rice. I'm telling you, the food is so great. You know? They know that when you cook with incredible ingredients, you're going to make an incredible meal. It's high standards, man. Family-run farms, fisheries, ranchers, artisanal suppliers. Blue Apron, they're bringing the best. New recipes are created each week by Blue Apron's culinary team and are not repeated within a year. They're flexible, so you can customize your recipes each week based on your preferences. You choose delivery options to fit your needs. There's no weekly commitment, so you only get the best the deliveries when you want them. It's easy, step-by-step, easy-to-follow recipe cards, like I said, and the meals can be prepared in 40 minutes or less. And I'm telling you, Blue Apron, I tried it. It's great. This is what you do. And you listen to me and you listen good. You check out this week's menu and you get three meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/BSTS. BSTS. You're going to love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. So don't wait. That's blueapron.com/BSTS. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. Or, as I say, Blue Apron. Make the food, brah. One other thing I want to tell you about the best show listener. Razors! Not the scooters. The face shavers. That's right. And if you're going to shave your face, and shave your face. Enough with these beards. Stop it. Go to Harry's.com. We got these Harry's razors. I've tried them. They're great. The products are really nice. The packaging is great. It's a perfect gift if you want to give in gifts. But this is the time you do get it for yourself. Harry's is the only company that, the only shaving company that has amazing quality and low prices. Just one razor with all you need for a close, comfortable shave. 5 German-crafted blades, flex hinge, and lubricating strip. Quality is guaranteed, and you get a full refund if you're not happy. And yeah, look, I've tried these razors. Some of them are terrible. Some of them are good, but they're super expensive. But this Harry's razor's right in the middle. Just like the bear, right? Isn't that a kid's thing or something? The one bear or something? I don't know. But you get a great shave with Harry's. And the pricing is as great as the shave, which is great. It's all great. Factory direct prices cut out the middleman. Half the prices of the leading brand. So this is what you do, my friends. Harry's starter set is called the Truman. And it's a great option for new customers and an amazing deal. So for just $15, you get a razor handle, moisturizing shave cream, and 3 of Harry's 5 blade German engineered razors. Plus, there's a special offer for fans of the best show. Harry's is going to give you $5 off your first purchase with promo code BESTSHOW. Go to Harry's.com right now and look for the Truman set. That's Harry's.com, Harry's.com. Enter the code BESTSHOW at checkout to get $5 off and help support the show. So stop compromising and give Harry's a try. Do it! Harry's! Shave your face, bro. Starting to catch on. It's starting to catch on. Well, well, well. Who's good here, Mike? 3. Your idea good or my idea good? My idea of good. Oh, this should be interesting. Best show.
Hello.
Hi. To whom am I speaking?
This is Brock.
Brock.
You're okay.
Wait, hold on. Wee. Brock.
Yeah.
What's up with your phone, Brock?
Oh, sorry. I was playing the radio and things got a little screwed up.
All right. Tighten it up, Brock. Come on.
All right.
Where are you calling from, Brock?
I'm calling from New Jersey itself.
Yeah, right. Don't say it like that.
I'm sorry. New Jersey.
There you go. What's on your mind, Brock?
I have some ideas for the top 10 50 people you don't want to be handcuffed to.
Okay.
first off, Rihanna, because, like, chains and whips excite her, so that would be bad.
Yeah, okay. Sure. Yeah, that's also making the list.
Are animals allowed, or is it only people?
You know what I'm going to do? I want to hear you. First of all, Rihanna, everybody's going to ask to be handcuffed to Rihanna. At least you could handcuff to a famous person.
You have a point. I don't know. I'd be intimidated, though.
Okay, well, that's a different story. Look, I'm not talking about this with you. How old are you?
I am 14.
Yeah, we're not talking about this.
All right.
Do animals count? I want to hear what your answer is in terms of being handcuffed to an animal.
The penguin from Wallace and Gromit, the creepy penguin. That guy was freaky.
Yeah, I'm not. No, that doesn't count. No animals.
All right.
Not that. Not the penguin from. But he's made of clay, isn't he? We just fall through the handcuffs. If it was hot, he'd just melt all over the handcuffs.
You have a good point.
So what's and going last, on? Give me this last one. Give me this last one, Brock.
Gary Busey.
Eh. All right. Put him at 49. Gary, yeah. For you, Brock.
Right. Thanks.
Hey, Brock.
Yeah?
How's school going? You done now?
Yeah, I'm done with school. I'm going to high school.
Get ready.
I'm ready.
This is what I say you should do to prepare for high school. All summer.
Yeah.
Get a bucket and fill it up with water, right?
Yeah.
And then grab the back of your hair, right?
Yeah.
And then push your own head into the bucket.
Okay.
Over and over.
All right. Is this warm water or cold water? I need details.
I would say, well, that's a good question. What temperature is toilet water?
I'd say a nice, well, it depends on your situation, but I'd say it would be like a nice lukewarm.
Okay, so lukewarm water.
Yeah.
And stick your own head into that bucket and up and down, like over, like, and then just once in a while yell, like, had enough, nerd? And then you go, yes, sir. Look, and I'm only saying this because that's what every day of high school is like for me.
Oh, I'm sorry, man.
Every day. Unless you're like a tough guy. You might be the one picking on people.
Well, I'm going to an art school, so everyone's a nerd.
Yeah, you're right. You're not going to go through. So, art. You like art, Brock?
Yeah, I make music.
Or like what kind of music?
I play the drums. I also play the ukulele, and I also make electronic music.
Okay. Who are your favorite artists, Brock?
Ooh, goodness. I'd say Radiohead, Dirty Projectors. They might be giants. Mm. I also, hold on, let me think. I listen to a lot of different music. Like, I've recently been listening to a lot of hip-hop.
Okay.
I don't know.
Like who, Macklemore? You like Macklemore?
No, like MF Doom, Kendrick Lamar, and then some Danny Brown.
Yeah.
Yee.
All right, Brock, you got pretty good taste there, buddy.
Thanks.
What do you think of, what do you think of Nick Cannon's Wildin' Out? You ever watch that?
No, I haven't. Yeah, I'll make sure to, though.
No, don't. It's bad.
Oh, okay. Is it bad? Right. Yeah. All right. Never mind.
Hey, Brock?
Yeet.
All right, you're done. Sorry, Brock. Are my guests here by any chance? Can you bring them in, please? And can you tell them the rules of the show, please, before they come in? Reiterate the rules.
Oh, yeah.
No cursing. That's right. No cursing. No cursing. Good heavens. You're going to sit there, huh? Bold stand. How are you?
Oh, Tom.
I didn't turn your mic on yet. How are you?
I'm okay.
I didn't turn your mic on yet either. It's a trick. Now we are.
Where's John?
Okay. There we go. No, we don't talk about those things.
That's him on the wall, isn't it?
It is, yes. Well, that's Philly Boy Roy, Sharon Horgan.
Oh.
Yes. I'm joined in studio. First of all, you have beverages, right?
Yeah, I've got a black and tan.
You didn't go for the Coors Light? Mike drink. Did you meet Mike?
Yeah, I did.
Nice guy, right?
He's all right, yeah.
He's all right. Okay.
I mean, we don't want to go overboard.
He's... No. No, let's... He drinks Coors Light. That's his thing.
Yeah.
All right.
Is he coming in? Oh, shit.
Oh, well, there we go.
Oh, sorry.
That's a big culture shock.
It is a big culture shock. This is, it's like, it's, this
she's
is
never
not,
been to New Jersey before.
This is not Radio Caroline. We're not...
The boat that rocked.
We're not playing pirate radio out in the middle
but
of the...
Who cares? Who cares?
About what?
Swearing on the internet.
I do. But it's like, because it's not... It's
the
not
kids. It's for the kids.
It's the kids. This we get everybody listening.
Okay.
Picture the family sitting around the radio.
The little kid sitting cross-legged. He's wearing a full cowboy uniform. And he's sitting cross-legged in front of the radio on a circular rug. And he's got his little six shooters.
Yes.
He sounds like a good future citizen. Yeah. For you guys, anyway.
Yeah.
For us. I have in studio Sharon Horgan. How are you?
I'm okay. I feel a bit nervous now.
Don't be nervous.
Well, because my language is appalling.
It's fine.
Okay.
It's going to be fine. You just relax.
She has variations on the traditional swear words.
Yes, exactly.
That might be. Are those okay?
You mean like a Cockney kind of thing?
Sometimes she takes like some of our normal swear words and changes like one letter in them. You know what I mean?
Well, can you give me an example?
I don't know.
Like if you do that thing where you
she changes
like,
a U to an E a lot. Yeah.
Okay.
Does that right. soften it enough?
Try that.
I don't want to try that.
Let's. And I also have Hayes Davenport here. How are you,
Hayes? Oh, Tom. So nice to be back.
It's nice to have you back.
What a great presence.
Now for people.
I am on the show.
Yeah, you are. Well, you are. Everybody loves you, Hayes. Hayes is like an old friend now on the show. He started off, let's see, people are saying, let me see here what they're saying.
Well, yeah, what's the early reaction?
The early reaction is, okay.
Oh, does.
Is that bad?
No, I'm kidding. I'm totally kidding. All right, let's play some records. Well, you guys like music, right? Here's six in a row.
People threatening to
yes
abandon the show.
Yeah. Here's something by... Emerson, Lake, and Palmer. It's 48 minute. And then we'll be back with Sharon and Hazel say goodbye. They'll do their goodbyes at the end of the... Now, Sharon, you are an actor and a writer and a producer, right? You do all these things. For people, you... People know you best for what here in America? Catastrophe?
My Target ads.
Your Target ads?
No, I don't know what they're... Yeah, Catastrophe, I suppose, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And Catastrophe is the show you've done with Rob Delaney.
Yeah, he's your super number one fan after Hayes Davenport.
After, yeah.
So wait, who's a fan of who now?
Rob is a fan mostly of me.
Of you.
Yes.
Sure.
And
specifically
then,
of Hayes on this show.
Yes.
So Rob's a fan of Hayes on the best show. Not just of Hayes.
No.
Just not a fan of Hayes outside of this context.
The three times I think I've been on the show.
Were his favorite three times of anything ever.
Yes, yes.
He's been into it.
Yeah.
No, listen, he's a fan of yours.
He loves you.
He loves you.
He's a sweet guy. I love him, too.
Do you?
I do.
Okay.
Dude, what am I supposed to say? Look, I really don't. What was it? Like, even if I didn't actually like him, like, I'm just going to go. Yeah, look, to be honest, since nobody's... This is just between us, right? Yeah. I'm not a big fan of him. I think he's kind of terrible. What? What is this thing in front of me? No.
He likes your show better than our show. He fessed that up to me one day.
Better than?
Catastrophe.
Why choose? Why does he have to choose?
Well, he felt that he had to.
Is it a contest?
I didn't put him in that position, but...
Does he do that with a lot of other stuff? Like foods? That he likes more than your show?
Is he a ranker? Is he always ranking stuff?
I don't know. Yeah, maybe.
Well, I would say, I know you did Catastrophe, which is in the second season, finished on Amazon recently.
Is this like a mini interview?
Well, we're just talking, just giving people context.
Okay, go on.
Is this a mini interview? Yes, it's a mini interview.
It's just funny because I sit beside you every day. And,
yes.
You know.
But they don't. Everybody else listening doesn't.
Okay, go on. So what were you saying?
I was saying.
You should know this stuff. She's right. Like, this should be.
Yeah. Look, you know. Admittedly, I haven't been paying a whole lot of attention. Catastrophe, people know you from that, and you are the star or co-star with Rob Delaney, but you also created and wrote the show with Rob.
Uh-huh.
So you wore all those hats. But before that, people knew you from what? Pulling would be the big thing?
Yeah, I suppose so. Or Todd Margaret. Like, people over here seem to watch Todd Margaret.
I guess Todd Margaret here would be the things, yes.
That, because no one used to ever, in this country, mm-hmm. or New York, okay. I know it's not a country per se, but in New York, no one would ever say, hey, you're the girl from that thing. Mm-hmm. Just the odd time, a sort of comic book nerd type of man would say, mm-hmm. Todd Margaret.
Okay.
So no one ever said pulling, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. even though it was on TV over here.
Sure. But you'll get people who just like, hey,
it's like, oh, I think I know you from,
Yeah.
You're from Todd Margaret, right?
And then you're just like, no. Then you kind of put your head down and shuffle away.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, no, I say thank you very much. Thanks for watching. I didn't know anyone watched that show.
Well, people do watch it. And I work with you on this show that's coming out soon, which I usually don't talk about what I actually work on here.
Really? Why?
Because it's boring.
Don't be so shady.
And people will come to the office. And,
it's boring.
Don't be shady about potentially, your day job.
And potentially kill Tom.
Yeah. You don't realize. You have to realize this,
Sean. Oh, God, of course.
First of all.
Yeah.
No, I get it.
We're all in grave danger.
Because?
They're just after me.
Because?
It would be quicker if I told you why they're not after me at this point. No, we've been working on a show that comes out later this year on HBO called Divorce.
Yeah.
Right? Divorce!
That's sort of the theme tune, isn't it? It's just that. Mm-hmm. Divorce!
Just somebody screaming. Divorce!
Just over and over and
yeah.
over.
Yeah, the title in just a tiny font.
What if they scream it? It's like the bells at a church, but like, for the first episode, they scream it once. And then the second episode, they scream it twice. And then by the end of the season, it's like, divorce! 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 Divorce!
That is a great idea. Maybe not for this show, yeah. but for another show.
For another show.
Tom, do you have a theme tune?
Do I?
Yeah.
I do.
It's one of
what
the best.
Is it? Play it?
Well, we did already. I'm going to play a little bit of it for you now, though. Wait till you hear this, Sharon Horgan.
This is a good crossroads in terms of, like, who is the show for? Is it for the guest or for the listener?
The show is for the listener.
But I think in this case, it might be for the guest.
You don't have to.
No, not that one.
Stupid. This one's fine. It's not.
It's not the theme, though.
No, it's not the theme.
This is the theme.
You like that?
I love it.
Right? It's no metronomy. Right?
Metronomy.
Metronomy. We say metronomy.
No, you
here.
Don't.
Yes, we do. Right?
Oh, I love it.
Good, right?
It's Tom on every instrument.
That's me.
He goes in the studio one at a time.
No, it's not. See? No. I'll send you an MP.
Is that, are you on
it's
vocals?
It's not me on vocals. No, it's a guy by the name of Paycheck. And his lady partner, Mrs. Paycheck, and the two of them did that. They're from Toronto. So, yes, that's the theme.
Do now, people here like to, when they, you know, make a TV show, do they like to write the
You theme, know this isn't a TV show, right?
Write the theme tune and sing the theme tune? Is that a thing?
I think Kelsey Grammer did it.
Did he?
On the closing credits of Frasier, when he's like,
Hey, baby, I hear the things are calling. Right? Was it?
Yeah.
Is that him?
The things.
That is him. What's he say? Baby, I hear
the things.
The eggs.
The eggs?
Chopped salad and scrambled eggs.
What is it?
That's not the juice.
It's toss, but today it would probably be, to update it, probably be a chopped salad.
Chopped salad. Yeah. Kale salad. And like the new.
Now, kale salad and egg white omelet.
Like, yeah, the Kelsey, the Frasier, the Netflix series on Frasier that will come, where he'll just do.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
And he
to
would
announce,
say, "Oh, baby, I hear the drop a coming."
It's very exciting. We're doing 4 new episodes on Netflix. Like, it's just like some unsatisfying short run of new Frasier episodes. And he would do the new thing would be, "Oh, baby, I hear the what is it? The bells are ringing. What is it?
Colin?
He says, "I hear the blues are calling," but that would have to be updated as well.
Yeah.
But why are the blues calling? Tossed kale salad and toffee balls.
And toffee balls? So he's jumping right to dessert. Unless that's actually what you guys don't eat.
If it was remade and out on Netflix, they could call it Frasier, right?
Yeah.
Don't know.
I like it. No, look, are we pitching? Are we going to go up to Netflix and pitch this?
This could be a good segue to the topic.
It could be. And
what
it will.
What is the topic?
The topic is, get ready for this, the top 50 people who you would not want to be handcuffed to.
50?
50, yeah.
What we have
go.
To think of.
You just got to rattle them off right now.
Okay, here we go. Number, no, I don't.
I think Kelsey Grammer maybe belongs on that list. No?
Why?
Would you want to be
like
handcuffed?
Like enough bad stuff. Hasn't happened to him.
Yeah.
You're going to put him on a...
That's what I'm saying. I don't want him to be handcuffed.
Well, hey, that's not what you meant at all. You didn't mean it from a humanitarian...
I just think the guy's been through enough. We're going to put handcuffs on him?
Yeah. I'm just saying, just picturing being handcuffed with him, just look like you're like, your wrist is going this way, and it's like, that's who it's attached to.
I think he would be having such a bad time.
Just mumbling about it, right? I've gotten, people on Twitter have sent me more pictures of Johnny Depp for this.
How come fat Johnny Depp or which version?
I get like pretty much everything from Lone Ranger onward. It's like, I think we're talking, yeah, nobody's sending me pictures of, it's not
Crybaby.
No, it's not Crybaby era Johnny Depp. It's all Mordecai. And Lone Ranger.
Mordecai is Hayes' favorite film. Favorite.
I talk about it a
favorite
lot.
Favorite comedy.
In the room.
Do you?
Just in terms of story structure, the Mordecai arc. Mm-hmm. Like
what is the arc?
He goes to the Standard Hotel and he thinks that it's the, when he goes to Los Angeles and he thinks it's the kind of place where somebody might shoot a porno film.
Uh-huh.
But by the end, I haven't seen the movie yet.
Okay.
I've reached it. That's from the trailer. I've reached the end of my knowledge of Mordecai.
Put Johnny Depp. Hey, Dudio. Johnny Depp, put him at, what, like 28?
Yeah, sure.
28.
He would also be always kind of like flourishing with his hands, Johnny Depp. Mm-hmm. And so your hand also has to be yanked up and down as he's like,
quite the predicament.
Also, he smells of cigarettes.
Alcohol. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
He smokes a lot of rollies.
You could just picture. You'd have to help him roll it, too.
Oh, yeah, of course.
With, your arm would be, like, yanked over as he's like, hold on a second. I need to just roll a quick cigarette here.
So and is the handcuffing, like, 24-hour? There's no breaks?
Well, it's a 48-hour period.
Oh, just for that short of a time?
Well, that's still 48 hours being handcuffed to Johnny Depp sounds like I might chop my hand off. I'm trying to think who else. No, I'm not putting the guy from what's that band?
Oh,
who's the guy?
Nickelback.
Oh, yeah, I know.
What? No. You'd like to be handcuffed to him? Or?
Well, I just look at him as like kind of like not top 50. He would not make the top 50. There's worse people.
Did someone say Penn Jillette?
Yeah, Penn Jillette.
Who's that?
He's the magician.
He's a
Penn and Teller. Is he the mute one?
No.
No, he's the other one.
The other one. The one you'd say with Teller, I think I'd tell her, I'd be like, I can just figure this out.
Because he's quiet.
Yeah, sure. But Penn Jillette would be talking to you all about atheism. Yeah, he'd be blab.
Any atheist I would not like to be handcuffed to.
Mm.
Don't you agree?
I just don't want to hear...
Yeah, there's one atheist, very famous atheist, who I don't think we're allowed to touch. I think we got to be hands-off on the face of atheism. Because he's a fellow countryman. Exactly. I mean, Sharon's got to go home and like hang out with this guy probably every day.
He's going to be waiting at Heathrow for you. Right? Waiting. I heard you on the show then.
Tom told me today, Hayes, that he's trained himself not to laugh because he doesn't think laughing sounds good on the radio.
Well, I think
so. Now I'm nervous about it because I've got a very annoying foghorn.
No, your laugh is great.
But I'm sad that it's fed into your real life and you can't laugh in real life. I feel sorry for
the price
your
of,
friends and family.
The price of entertaining people, Sharon Horgan. It's the price of entertaining people at Sharon Horgan. Now people are... Kevin Pollak, would you want to be handcuffed to Kevin Pollak? That would be rough.
Wow. Well, this is a part of the Earwolf family you're talking about.
I'm sorry.
Is a guy that has a podcast in the network that I'm a part of. He's sort of my Ricky Gervais.
Yes,
really.
He's like the U.S. Ricky. Because he does this. Hayes is on the Earwolf network. He does a show called Hollywood Handbook.
I mean, it's like being handcuffed to Kevin Pollak is also being handcuffed to Christopher Walken. Mm-hmm. It's being handcuffed.
To
William Shatner.
Yeah.
The guy does these impressions.
Oh,
yes.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. He's the guy who
none of these are pleasant experience.
No. You'd just be like, yeah. I would say Kevin Pollak, I don't want to put one of your coworkers down, Kevin Pollak. There's like an associate. You're going to go up to Earwolf.
Yeah.
And he's going to be there.
It might actually happen.
And he's going to be there doing his Christopher Walken being like, why are you, like, I can't even do that. I don't even know what that impression.
Try. Like,
what is a Christopher Walken impression? Guys like that ruin it so much that you're just like, I can't hear. No, that's like, I think that's.
It's a little Brad Garrett.
Yeah. No, Brad Garrett's much lower than that.
Is Raymond your, like, the word that you use to, like, get into Brad Garrett?
When he's like, Raymond. He's like, everybody knows that Raymond. Everybody. I can't stand my brother Raymond.
He's another one, maybe.
I would not want him because you'd go
all these
up.
Tall
he's
guys.
So tall. You know Brad Garrett, the brother on Everybody Loves Raymond?
Yes.
Your arm would just be up the whole time. It would be like the blood. You might lose your hand from just lack of blood. It would just be like you'd have tingling fingers within an hour. Because you're not getting any circulation. I'm not putting
Brad... a half crucifixion.
Yes, mm-hmm. A half crucifixion if you had Brad Garrett.
But it would be equally bad to be handcuffed to, say, Ariana Grande.
Sure.
So tiny.
Yeah.
Or a dog.
And also... Or a dog. I was thinking it would be better to be handcuffed to someone... you didn't like than to be handcuffed to someone who didn't like you.
Oh, sure.
So, oh, wait, so...
You know? Because that would be stressful.
Oh, absolutely.
So to be handcuffed to somebody who doesn't like you...
Yeah.
So if you're handcuffed to them and you're okay with them...
with them.
And then they're just like...
They're just really not happy that they're handcuffed.
So it's just quiet? Like a lot of quiet?
Or just a bit disgusted.
And you're doing a whole song and dance and you're trying to like make the best of it.
Yeah, really trying hard, but you just know that
I'm so glad we get to have this time. hang out just the two of us.
You're trying to like...
Ugh. In that case, maybe we can put Kevin Pollak on this list for me because he does not want to do my show.
So for you, that would be a bad one, Kevin Pollak.
Because I would be trying so hard to impress him.
You'd be like... You'd be like, yeah, so A Few Good Men, you're really good in that.
And he'd be like, I was in The Usual Suspects, you jerk. Was he in A Few Good Men, too?
I think so.
Oh, I'm sure you're right.
Dudio?
Yeah?
Put Kevin Pollak at, like, 43 on the list. Put Phil Rosenthal at 4, also. Creator of Everyone Loves Raymond. Everybody Loves Raymond. This guy did this movie... Holy moly, where he's bringing Raymond. And look, you are a showbiz person. I'm not.
I'm not a showbiz person.
I have, like, in a year, I'm going to be working at a Home Depot. Or as you say, Home Depot. That was a funny moment.
As you
moment.
Say, Home Depot.
When you were like, you're like, is it Home Depot or Depot? And just like here, it's just like everybody's like, Home Depot.
Like, yeah, it doesn't like sound like something you should ever be saying.
A Home Depot. I like Home Depot. That classes it up a little bit.
Which sounds more French.
Which department are you going to be working Hammers. In?
I'll be making keys. I'll be grinding keys, right?
I think the sort of, I don't know if Home Depot is the same here as it is in the UK, but is there a sort of, you know, gardening area, like mm-hmm. tools for, oh, yeah. I think you'd be working in that area because you'd be like fascinated by plants and you'd be like, I can make things grow.
Befriending the plants.
So this would be like, so I'm just like discovering myself at this job, according to you. I'm just like, you know, I didn't like it at first. I thought I really wanted to keep my show business career going, but I'm really satisfied here at Home Depot. These plants, like, look at these plants
I'm
in charge of.
Look at these saplings.
Yeah, that we sell for $8. Like, I'm working so hard on them, and it's just like, $8. Like, just like the lowest value of life.
They let you take stuff back if you kill it, and they'll just give you a new one, and I don't think you would do well with that.
I'd just be like, hold me back.
Yeah. They let you bring back, if you kill, what?
Anything.
If you kill anything.
Indiscriminately, you can just keep replacing it forever, for
and
free.
Yes. And you could kill the stuff with other things at Home Depot, too. You could
just
be like...
smash them together.
Or you just be like, yeah, I bought some of this plant killer in the one aisle. I poured it all over the plant I bought. Now it's dead.
And the box is empty. They're both dead.
Yeah, this plant killer got all over the plant. I need to get a new plant killer and a new plant. This isn't working.
And just put them all in the same bag again.
Yeah, just put them in the same bag and shake it up. Shake them up.
What about Anthony Bourdain?
Why?
I just feel like...
Because of... You don't like his food or because of his...
I don't really like his relationship to food. I feel like there would be a lot of stories about like, oh, I've been through worse situations than this. Let me tell you about the time I did heroin out of a caviar spoon or whatever.
So all it would do is trigger more like... And you'd finally just be like, all right. Can we just focus on getting these handcuffs off?
Like, but he'd be fairly good with a knife, so maybe he might be able to pick it. He would have a whole selection of knives, because chefs, as we know, they carry blades.
Yes.
And they're velvet.
Yes. He just rolls his little, What are we working with? What do we want to do here? Unspools it. But then your hand has to, like, pick a knife up. So he's like trying to pop the thing with like reaching over.
All that is pretty tricky. But you know, I think any chef would be okay to be handcuffed to because if you know it would be harder to have access to food, shopping, and maybe to be handcuffed to a chef would be.
Is this in their home?
Well, I don't know where we are.
In the woods, maybe.
Okay,
Right? Should it be in the woods?
Yeah, probably.
Right? That seems like not like a... There was that Kim Bassinger, Richard Gere movie where they were handcuffed in the bayou. It wouldn't be like the bayou. Hey, Dudio, can you fix this mic for me, please? Tell you, I'm going to fire everybody on this show. Right in front of you. You're going to watch a house cleaning like you never saw before. You're going to leave with them. You're going to see this... You know, hi. Hello. No, I'm kidding. I wasn't saying anything negative. Hey, how are you?
Oh,
I tell you, they're all gone, all of them, top to bottom. Everybody out there, gone.
God.
Mike.
What happens then?
A rain's gonna come.
Mike's just like, are we gonna get pizza tonight? Are we gonna get pizza tonight?
I can smell the pizza.
I can smell
they did get pizza.
Do you want pizza?
Well, no.
You want a kebab?
Not really.
See, but
a curry. Good.
Do you want a curry?
It smells better than that station we were in earlier, though. What station were we in, Hayes? It smelled of
it was
5,
a 23rd Street mm-hmm. Path station.
Okay.
That was smelly.
It was bad.
Yeah.
It's not like the tube, right?
It smelled worse than the tube.
Okay. And there was a guy, there was one fan, and one guy had sort of like carved out a space next to the fan, and Sherrod kind of tried to like edge her way in there, like next to this guy, getting a little fan action with him.
So you were sharing a fan on the 23rd.
He just sort of slowly backed away and let Sharon. It seemed like Sharon wanted it more than he did.
He was sweating anyway, mm-hmm. so right. It wasn't working for him.
Right.
Now, Sharon, you are not. People say think you're from you're from Ireland.
Yeah.
Not England.
Well, I'm kind of a bit of a pretender because I was born in London.
Okay.
And my mother's Irish, and we moved to Ireland when I was 4.
Okay. Well,
3.
You're still a kid then. That's
yeah.
You're
and
from
my
Ireland.
Brothers and sisters are Irish.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Irish.
Yes.
I identify as Irish.
Okay.
So, but I have.
I don't know why Tom's picking a fight with you about it, honestly. I think, you know, you say you're Irish, you're Irish. Tom obviously isn't willing to settle
for
that.
Yeah, what's the problem?
I'm just trying to get to the bottom of it. Look, it's gotcha. It's gotcha radio.
I've got, like, a weird accent now that isn't really one thing or the other. I need to just fix it, I think.
No, it's great.
Yeah, but then there'll be no confusion. It'll just be your Irish.
Well, when you're over in London, what do people make of the accent now?
Of my accent?
Yes.
Well, people in London think it sounds more Irish than people in Ireland do. People in Ireland think I'm, you know, some sort of weird hybrid now.
Okay. So for you to get out of Ireland and try to get into comedy, I mean, do you have to go to London for that? Like, if you really want to be in it, is there a big Irish comedy
There's
scene?
A huge Irish comedy scene.
But you're not a stand-up, though.
No, I mean, it's trickier, you know. There's less opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
I was just thinking.
For an actor.
For an actor, and there's less, they make less shows, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's better to go to London where the streets are paved with, you know, mm-hmm. comedy.
The number one Irish stand-up that I bet people can name in this country mm-hmm. is Scottish, is Billy Connolly.
No. Is that, do you think people would make that?
I bet if you asked 1,000 people who's like their favorite Irish stand-up comedian mm-hmm. is, they would, the number one answer you would get for sure is Billy Connolly.
Yeah.
Connolly.
And you know what people think of him here? When you think of him here,
people think
he did a really terrible sitcom.
What?
Here. And then he's in the Boondock Saints movie.
Oh, that's right.
Here. Like, so those are like the two things. Like there, everybody's thinking of just like this god of comedy. Here, it's just like, that's the guy from that one sitcom. And then he did that dumb movie. I'm a dumb person, so he did that movie I like, Boondock Saints. You don't like Boondock Saints.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, it's a
what sitcom did he do?
Remember that show?
Vaguely.
Mr. Connolly or some dumb
thing like that. Oh, and we have Craig Ferguson.
Yeah.
Oh,
we have Joyner Dies. He is also Scottish. Yeah. Well, there you go.
He did a show called Billy here.
Did he?
Yes. In 1992.
Craig Ferguson.
No. Yeah, Craig Ferguson did the show. He played Billy Connolly on the show. It was actually Billy Connolly wrote it. Craig performed it. No. Imagine this. Billy Connolly stars as Billy McGregor, a Scottish teacher who moves to America in order to build a new life for himself. He marries, he gets married so that he can get his green card. He's worried about getting deported through the show. He lives in a basement apartment.
Real message show. It's like El Norte. You ever see the movie El Norte?
No.
It's like they get sent over the Mexican border and they have to like.
So this is his.
Crawl through like a sewer. Yeah, this is his El Norte.
Well, this is, but he's in the school system.
Yeah.
It follows his misadventures. Couldn't just be his adventures, his misadventures. As he adjusts to life in California while staying one step ahead of immigration officials. who are seeking to prove his marriage is a sham. God. So it's like an old style sitcom.
That's
where
a lot of backstory for a late night talk show. Oh, sorry, not Craig Ferguson.
This is Billy Connolly's sitcom. That would be the greatest late night talk show ever, though.
He's hosting a talk show at the same time. Every once in a while, the INS officials will come in and chase him around the desk. His wife, I guess, is showing up from time to time, and he has to teach a class.
on the talk show.
Meanwhile, like Mindy Kaling is there or whatever, and has to be interviewed.
So he's like, ladies and gentlemen, Blake Lively. And she's out. And then suddenly some guy starts hovering around the background. He's like, yeah, Billy, what are you doing? Yeah, you say you're not on the run here with the immigration, huh?
He has to pretend to be married. Suddenly has to pretend to be married to Blake Lively.
He's like, kiss me, quick.
Every guest that comes on.
They have to do a quick kiss.
Yeah.
To try to block the... I'm here. On the best show, we got Sharon Horgan from Catastrophe and Pulling, and now Divorce. It's just all screaming. It's like all your shows just have rows of exclamation points, and then you're like, "How'd that happen?" Well, this one guy just started yelling once, and then I think people started.
People just assumed that was correct.
And also, Hayes Davenport is here.
Much quieter.
He, Hollywood Handbook. I'm telling you, I did the when I did that podcast, the Paul Scheer, How Did This Get Made?
Yeah.
I did it, and like they do it in front of this audience, and it's like the audience is going nuts for them.
In the Casper Podcast Lounge.
In the Casper Podcast Lounge. They did a live show a few weeks ago, and I'm there, and then they didn't announce that I was the guest, and then they brought me out, and I never heard a more tepid response. Oh, you should have heard that. Oh, yeah.
What's the tepid response?
They thought they were going to get, like, I don't know what they were looking to get. I wasn't it.
Oh.
Because then they're like, Paul's like, this guy does a show. I love the show so much. Tom Sharpling is like, yeah. Just like it went, just like, yeah.
What were you wearing?
Oh, is that what it was? Sleeveless.
Blue pants, blue sneakers.
Did you have a hat on?
A hat?
Yeah.
When have you ever seen... Could you picture me with a hat on?
He has one of those floppy Cat in the Hat hats. with the Grateful Dead bears around the
sort of jester. You know,
a Happy Mondays kind of thing.
Yeah. With the eat your face.
She doesn't know what the Grateful Dead are. If you're going to mention Grateful Dead, switch it out for Happy Mondays with Sharon. Okay. Who's good here, Mike? Four. Mike screens the calls.
Oh, for what?
For the show. This is a show.
Yes.
We're doing a show.
Best show.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm good. Who's this?
This is Nolan from Arizona.
Nolan from Arizona. What's going on in Arizona tonight, Nolan?
It's incredibly hot. It reached 117 today.
Ugh. Can you imagine? 117 degrees.
Any second on this phone call, we're going to hear the, like, boom of, like, a brownout.
Exactly. It's just going to be rolling.
It's going to be gone.
Just black. Just shutting neighborhoods down. What's going on, Nolan?
I had a couple for the topic.
Of people, the top 50 people you would not want to be handcuffed to. Who do you have?
So first one, Kevin Pollak.
So we said him already.
It's quite the coincidence.
I don't have internet right now.
Okay, fair enough.
His internet melted.
He's on the list already.
Okay, well that's fair. Jerry Seinfeld.
Yeah, I'd want to be handcuffed to him at least, right? Jerry Seinfeld?
Oh, yeah. I'd love to be handcuffed to Jerry Seinfeld.
Maybe not Michael Richards. That might not be. Right? Kramer?
Oh, right. Yeah.
Right? Maybe him. Even that? I guess even he.
I'd have questions.
Yeah. Be fun to be. All right. Keep going.
Tim Tebow is my last one.
Tim Tebow.
Huh.
Who's that?
I don't. What
failed NFL
American
quarterback.
Football player?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Because he failed.
He's just not good. He's a guy who just came out of college, and then people thought he was going to be so great, and he wasn't great. Did you think he was going to be great?
I didn't really have much of an opinion on it one way or the other.
But there's some people who were just like, this guy's the greatest. And it was just, and then he just was a spectacle.
And he was very religious. I don't really know what a conversation with Tim Tebow would be like.
Yeah, it seems, I'm going to, I.
Well, if he let the whole country down, he's probably quite depressive. I mean, you don't come out of that.
At this point, he would just probably be a huge bummer to hang out with.
Yeah.
He did let the whole country down.
Yeah. Talking about his, I couldn't throw that football.
Yeah.
Right? Wayne Rooney.
Who's the guy that missed that penalty kick in the Euro, in like the 2004 Euro that everyone was mad at? Oh, there's Beckham.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did you ever hear John Oliver do his David Beckham impression?
No, I'd love to, though.
It's so funny because he just does that squeaky high voice of his.
Yeah.
Can you do that?
Not really.
Can you do any impressions? Can you do an American accent?
Yeah, but I'm not going to do it. I'm not a great clown. I'm not a performing
I didn't say you
monkey.
Were a clown.
You did sort of say she was a clown.
All right, I'm here with two clowns. Two clowns in the studio who are going to do my bidding. Dance clowns. Look, dude, you struck out. Nice try. Best show.
Hello.
Yeah, hey, what's up?
Hey, Tom. This is Marcel from Orlando.
Marcel from Orlando. How are you doing down in Orlando with everything?
I'm doing good. Doing well.
Good. Do you have something for the comic, buddy? You're the one who won the contest.
Yeah, did he get his prize?
I did. I said he's the one. He did an impression of me and won a contest. I was having people do impressions of me. What is he, a clown?
Actually,
his name is Marcel.
Yeah, it's fair. He actually, yeah. Marcel, can you do a little bit of the impression for Sharon Horgan?
Oh God, that's, you're putting me on the spot.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. Okay. Best show.
That's not enough.
Hey, best show. Who's this?
Oh, hey, it's Hayes calling.
Hey, Hayes. Where are you from?
I'm from Rhode Island.
Rhode Island. Okay. So, what's going on in Rhode Island tonight? What's going on there?
Oh, nothing. I'm just kind of sitting around, having a drink, listening to the show.
Having a drink, okay.
All right.
Well, what are you drinking over there?
Pulling the plug on your impression tonight.
Okay, yeah.
Look, I'm sorry, fair. Marcel. I don't know
anything about
that.
Rhode Island.
It's okay. So what do you, do you have something for
it's
the
topic?
It's
my fault. I chose the wrong state.
No, it's fine.
Marcel.
Yeah, I do have something for the topic, but, I just want to say one thing first. Hayes, I love Hollywood Handbook.
Thank you.
Yeah. You and Sean are hilarious, and I just wanted to say that.
Aww.
Thank you, Marcel.
That's nice.
I liked your impression. Did I think it was the best one of the night? It was top two for sure.
Well, I gave two prizes out that night.
It was the other one that I thought
squeaked out.
Yeah,
squeaked,
Marcel. Yeah.
So what do you have? Who would you not want to be handcuffed to, Marcel?
Well, I've been thinking hard about this. So I'm going to have to say Alec Baldwin.
That's a good one.
Oh, why though?
I like Alec Baldwin, but I also think he's insufferable.
Yeah.
I think there would be a lot of like, do you know who I am? Like, why is this, who do I talk to get these handcuffs off me? Yeah. We're not doing this. We're not doing the handcuffs.
I'd imagine he's kind of flatulent as well.
Yes.
Maybe. He just seems like someone who would break wind, like on a regular basis.
I just picture him complaining so much and being just like, and telling stories you don't want to hear.
Yeah.
Like The Edge, shooting The Edge.
Shooting The Edge.
The movie The Edge.
Oh, I thought it like the guy from U2.
Well, yeah. You didn't know that Al Baldwin murdered The Edge?
Well, he was arrested.
Well, I thought you might have meant he shot him,
right.
But in the knee or something.
You're handcuffed to him, and then he says,
yeah.
You know what we're going to do? You know U2, right? You and me and you,
we're going to shoot the edge.
Yeah, he fired.
And then you have to, like, hold half of the rifle or whatever so that he's just like, it's like, stop shaking your hand. I can see him. Thank you, Marcel.
He's at the he's like creeping through the woods too, and like a deer, the edge is like, you're gonna spook the edge.
There's like three guys in that crowd with.
You're gonna worry the edge.
You're gonna worry the edge. There's like they have hats on, like those like ski caps.
Yeah,
you can't tell what kind of, what color ski cap was he wearing. He's mixing it with other ski caps. You two, yay or nay?
I mean, that's a really, really tricky one because YouTube back in the day, mm-hmm. massive yay. Mm-hmm. But now I'm still a bit embarrassed for them because of the forcing their album onto people's.
Sure.
Yeah.
You know.
Did you,
but then I felt sad that they had to do that.
That they're just like.
Yeah, they had to. Somebody made them
do
that.
No, but they were like, we, you know, what was Bono's reason? He just didn't like the thought of no one listening to
him. Nobody hearing it.
So therefore he wanted everybody. Like,
yeah. What if instead of nobody had it? Yeah. Everybody had it.
But then he was sorry, and did they take it off? It landed on my, it's in my phone.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how to get rid of it. I haven't listened to it. I just go, every time it comes on, I go, oh, God. And then skip to the next one. But like back in the day, they were all like, I loved them so much.
Sure. Right?
Yeah.
I like that song. Best show.
Hi, Tom.
Hi. To whom am I speaking?
This is Violet from calling in Greenpoint, Brooklyn.
Oh, I know Greenpoint.
A call from Greenpoint, Brooklyn, where apparently the idea of picking up after your dog still hasn't reached Greenpoint. Like the idea of
Greenpoint,
like,
is never going to recover.
If you're like walking a dog and they just do their business and you're just kind of like, meh, it's going to rain at some point. Not my problem. Come on.
Yeah, Greenpoint. In the city without sin, the ultimate crime. I don't understand why people don't do that.
Right? It's true, though. I'm not wrong, am I?
No, it's totally true.
It's lawless out there. So what's up, Violet?
So I had one for the topic. Brian Williams.
Yeah, that's pretty
good.
The anchor man?
Yeah.
You
he
say
would just
no?
be making...
You know who? You know Brian Williams.
Yeah.
The newsman.
Yeah, he's lovely.
He'd be making light of the situation.
With one of his wry... zingers. I don't know. I wouldn't want to. Because, you know, he'd be so, be like talking all about like, because he tries to be like he knows what, like he's trying to be cool all the time.
Yeah.
And he'd be just like.
Who would it be now? Yeah, he'd be talking about like Sky Ferreira or something.
Yeah, he's just like, I really wonder if MGMT are going to put a new album out soon. And you're just like, oh, stop trying to fit in with me. You're a news guy.
I had dinner with him the other night. Oh, lovely.
See, well, that's
see, I know we can't do anybody.
See, we can't walk this. Okay,
we have an we're actual taking, famous person.
We're taking
here.
Brian Williams off the list.
Oh,
come on, he's lovely. We're putting him on the list of people we'd want to be handcuffed to, right? He's on the other list, right?
Yeah.
People you'd pay to be handcuffed to.
Exactly.
All right. Sorry, Violet.
Well, I have two other news.
Okay. Ones. Who do you have?
Piers Morgan.
Oh, we'll see.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
Okay.
No?
I would have thought, of course that's a good one, but I would have thought that that would be someone that you've had
breakfast
a lot
with.
Of. Yeah, sure.
Oh,
this morning.
No.
But you just came from his house.
No. He's genuinely awful on mm-hmm. so many levels. It's hard to know where to start, but.
It is really amazing how. You know, he takes a lot of positions that, like, you know, some people in this country agree. He's, like, very pro-gun control and all these things. Like, I agree with this stuff. But still, people are like, no. Yeah. Don't agree with
not
me.
Not from you.
People don't want it from him.
Yes.
Dudio? Yeah. Piers Morgan, 18.
That's
on the list. Who else do you have, Violet?
Well, I was also, again, another newsman, Wolf Blitzer. Sort of obvious.
Yeah.
I picture him having, like, cigarette breath.
right?
Yeah.
Doesn't he just seem like even if he doesn't smoke anymore, he'd still smell like a cigarette?
I think he would be so quiet. I just don't think he would.
Uh-huh.
I think he would just say, let's just go to sleep and we'll let's wake up in 2 days.
We'll sleep for the next 48 hours and this will be over.
And you then say, okay, it's all, he's already gone.
And then you're just laying there and he's just like out.
Yeah.
Like, I have to go to the bathroom. Right? Like with Wolf Blitz, you're just like, Wolf.
You're like, what is he doing?
Wolf, I have to go to the bathroom. Can you wake up?
He says, no.
He groans and then you have to shut the door with him on the other side. Right, I'm assuming that's what we're doing. We're shutting the door while we go to the toity with like.
Yeah, so yeah, but then you'd have to kneel down so that the handcuffs are going under the door. It would just be very difficult to negotiate.
Is there a window behind the toity and then he could be outside? But how would you get that?
This is in the woods?
I'm assuming we found a cabin at some
point. Yeah.
Or a park bathroom, like a campground bathroom. Well, then it's just lawless anyway, so. Thank you, Violet. I'm here on The Best Show. I want to tell everybody I'm here with Sharon Horgan and Hayes Davenport, the Sharpling and Worst, their live record that we recorded last year at Third Man in Nashville is available for pre-order now. Go to thirdmanstore.com and you can pre-order your copy. It comes out in the beginning of July. It's going to come out pretty fast. So get yours now. And one other thing. Mike has his shirts. You know Mike, the associate producer on the show. He works at this bar Masses in Bayonne. And we made these shirts. They're very nice shirts, right, Mike? People love them, don't they? And they're all back. They're all going to be back in stock very shortly. So in a matter of days, he'll be fulfilling all the orders again. A big reorder on the shirt. So you go to apmike.bandcamp.com. You can order a Masses Tavern shirt. And you'll get it. He'll send it in an envelope and everything.
They're blowing up.
They are blowing up.
LeBron was wearing one after, like when he changed after Game 7, he changed into a Masses t-shirt.
He did.
Did you see that? Yeah,
I did.
He did. Yeah, he celebrated. They went to Vegas and all that.
And then they went to Bayonne.
Yes.
Then to Cleveland.
Yeah.
Best Show.
Hey, Tom.
Yes, hi.
Hey, it's Bucky in Peoria.
Bucky Illinois. In Peoria, Illinois. What's up, Bucky? You're here with Sharon Horgan and Hayes Davenport.
Oh, wonderful. I'm a big fan of both of you. I love Catastrophe and Pulling. And Hayes, the stuff you do also.
Thanks,
and that stuff that you do as well, that stuff is some good stuff.
There was one time, Sharon, where me and Hayes went to this haunted prison in Philadelphia.
I remember.
Yeah. And then, like,
what happened?
We're there, and then, like, it's super scary. And then this one guy goes, like, we're waiting to get let into the next portion of it because they control the crowd flow. And this one monster goes, is your name Hayes Davenport? And then Hayes is like, yeah. He's like, I'm a fan of your show, Hollywood Handbook. And then Hayes goes, oh, well, thank you very much. If you know the show, you'll know who this is. This is Tom Sharpling from The Best Show. And this monster goes, oh, yeah, sure. It was the worst rejection by a monster. A guy dressed like a monster. He goes, oh, yeah, sure. All right, you guys can go now into the next section.
They found the thing that scared Tom the most.
That was it.
He found his true fear.
It was my true fear.
In that haunted
house.
What
kind of a monster?
He was like a jailer. No, he was in the like mechanical like lab.
Yeah, he looked like a torturer.
I genuinely thought you were just being really rude about his general appearance and personality.
I called him a monster.
He was
done
monster.
Up. He, how? So you just did the American accent?
Did I?
You monster. Look, I'll do my British accent if you do your American.
No.
Which one of you killed my brother? It's Michael Caine, right?
That's
who
really
here
good.
Killed my brother? Brother, right? B-R-U-V-E-R. Mm-hmm. Which one of you killed my brother?
That's pretty good.
Caller?
Bucky.
Bucky. Yep. Bucky, thank you for remembering. You remember because he likes pulling and catastrophe. And he's also into whatever it is Hayes does. Now, Bucky, what do you have to say? First of all, Bucky,
well, I guess you can talk. Oh, yeah.
I'm going to say this. Would you like an audio autograph right now?
I could.
All right.
Most definitely.
Okay. To Bucky, all the best. Tom Sharpling. Would you like to give him one?
Wow. Bucky, thanks for being a fan. Hayes Davenport.
Of course, of course.
Okay.
You don't respond to an audio autograph. It's just I write it. You don't write anything below that.
Sharon, would you give Bucky an audio autograph?
To Bucky, best wishes. Scribbly, scribbly. You can't figure out what my name is because my signature is illegible.
There you go, Bucky. So you got...
Thank you.
So what do you have for the topic?
Well, I got two for the topic, but also along the lines of what you just did, I did receive from my girlfriend, she ordered me an AP Mike headshot, signed headshot for Father's Day. I received it on Saturday.
Okay.
And it says, it's very nice. It's a very nice Father's Day gift. It says, "Too lucky, a great dad, love Mike." And I just...
Because Mike sells really headshots of himself.
Who's Mike?
Who's Mike?
Mike is the...
Oh, your man out there. Okay. Yeah.
The weirdo out there.
Oh, the weirdo. Okay.
One of the ones that's getting canned tonight. He sells these headshots and he signs them. And you know how many he sold them? Hundreds.
Really? How much did he sell them for?
Thousands.
How many have you sold, Mike? 400.
Mike has set up...
For how much?
A Fortune 500 company in the waiting room of this studio.
I'm hemorrhaging money on this show. He's walking away
he's going public very soon.
Yeah. Tom, why don't you get some headshots done?
Would you really want a headshot of me hanging on your wall?
Yeah.
No, you wouldn't.
Bucky?
Bucky.
Yeah, Bucky.
Even Bucky's not into it.
Sounds like Bucky could take it or leave it.
Yeah.
All right, Bucky, who do you have for the thing now?
Sorry. I have Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Yeah, people really are dumping on this guy lately.
Why do you put Neil deGrasse Tyson on the thing? Because he's just going to talk about the asteroids the whole time or whatever he talks about?
I mean, he's going to, but he's also going to ruin every movie that you watch.
That's true. He's always, this guy Neil deGrasse Tyson is always like, well, actually the logic in this X-Men apocalypse is, it's like, nobody asked you to debunk the science of an X-Men movie.
Yeah. He's taken all the sort of fun out of that movie.
Yeah. So go ahead. Who else?
Shia LaBeouf.
Shia LaBeouf.
I disagree.
You like Shia LaBeouf?
Yeah.
What's your favorite Shia LaBeouf movie? Even Stevens, the movie?
When he went mental in that club. And
oh, so you're just like the actual maniac.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, he's an actor?
I don't think I've ever seen a Shia LaBeouf movie.
You just like that he's an insane person that people film and just like, wait, what's this guy do?
Yeah, I like his art stuff.
So Shia LaBeouf has been vetoed.
I can't veto that. I mean,
sure
it's
Look, you vetoed Brian Williams, Shia LaBeouf.
He turned it into an art project.
Yeah, his art project. Look, who else you got?
I don't know. I feel like...
If you don't know, I'm hanging up on you. I'm here to let this guy figure it out. Best show.
Hi there.
Hi.
Tom?
Yes.
Hi, Tom. This is Bobby in Austin, Texas.
Bobby in Austin, Texas. What's up, Bobby?
Nothing. Just hanging out, enjoying the show. Enjoying Sharon and Hayes both being there. Thanks for being on the show, guys.
You're welcome.
You're welcome, Bobby.
Did you have, it was Austin, from where Hayes. You, there you go, so. Was that where you hurt yourself, Austin?
Oh, yeah, that's where I broke my,
Oh, yeah, there's a woman's foot flying next to a trampoline.
There's a bone shard on a trampoline somewhere.
Somewhere in Austin, there's a piece of Sharon Horgan's ankle. So you go to Austin.
Still bouncing up and down on the trampoline.
You go to Austin, Texas, and you're jumping around on a trampoline.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then you jump too high?
I suppose it was pretty, it was medium height, but someone was also jumping at the same time or a split second before me, and they landed on the trampoline and made the trampoline not bouncy, but hard.
Okay. Yeah.
So I was expecting bounce.
Yeah.
And I got hardness.
And you went right down on your ankle.
I went right down on my ankle. Mm-hmm. But I'd taken a muscle relaxant about an hour previously, and it was Christmas Day, so I'd had some.
So you knew this was going to happen.
Did you pop a Quaalude?
I had a bad back, and the chap I was staying with had a lot of medicals, and so I took one of those for my back, mm-hmm. and then because it was Christmas Day, there was champagne.
Okay.
So there was those two other things as well.
So this is
this is what brings us to a trampoline.
So it's like. Back pills, and we call them back pills.
Why are you doing inverted commas with your?
Because it's always like
you have to legally.
You were taking back medication.
Back pills, yeah.
Plus champagne.
Yeah.
Times trampoline.
Times trampoline.
Equals.
Shards.
Equals Sharon's ankle shards.
Do you call a comma an inverted quotation mark as well?
No. What?
I've never heard inverted commas.
Oh, yeah, really? Oh, okay.
Now, what's your name again?
Bobby.
Bobby, what do you have for...
Yes,
first of all, if you find any part of Sharon's ankle that's still down there
sure.
in Austin, send it to me.
I'll be on the lookout.
And I'll forward it along to her, okay?
No problem at all.
All right. What are you calling from? It sounds like you're calling from a Dixie cup.
Hang on. Let me try that. Is that better?
Okay. Well, let me hear you now.
Is that better?
Yeah. Why didn't you do that in the first place?
Ah, sorry. I was on hold. I didn't mean to.
Yeah. It's only a call-in show. Why would you? Yeah. Let me just play fast and loose with the quality of the call.
I didn't realize it was that bad.
Come on. What do you got for the topic, Bobby?
I got a couple for the topic. They're two rock and roll opposites.
Okay.
The first, as much as I love the Dead Kennedys, I gotta say Jello Biafra.
Yeah, that'd be a pretty rough one to be handcuffed
Why?
To.
That'd be pretty tough.
Blah, 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 blah,
just
all the
talks
time.
Too much.
Yeah. Running his mouth. That 48 hours would
system.
Be. Yeah. And I love him, but I think he's disappointed. Let's put him 46. Who else?
And the second would be his rock and roll opposite, the Nuge, Ted Nugent.
Ted Nugent, yeah, that one would be pretty insufferable. Ted Nugent, 8. Yeah.
All right.
Great job, Bobby.
All right. Thanks a lot, Tom.
You cut off the M of Tom.
I always do that. Oh. It's the best part.
He's got...
It's my favorite part of the whole show.
Perfect timing
hanging
on that hang
Tom.
Up.
Just that. Best show.
Hello.
Hi. To whom am I speaking?
This is Roxy in Los Angeles.
Roxy in Los Angeles. I know you.
Yeah. I'm actually with David. We're on speakerphone together.
With who?
David.
It's her date to Dirty Grandpa.
That's right. Sharon, a few months ago, I put out an offer to Roxy, who is a young person in Los Angeles.
Looking. Young. Thank you.
Of course you're young. She went on a date with another listener, and I paid for the date as they went to see the movie Dirty Grandpa and took a picture in front of. I'll pay for people for listeners to date. I'll pay for the first date, but the stipulation is that if the date turns into love, and I got to say this, that date was January. It's June. You're sitting next to him now on the thing.
No way.
They probably have a kid coming pretty soon.
Yeah. We're not dating.
You're not dating.
No.
Six months later, I'm saying, look, I'm not going to. Just be honest with me. That's all I ask.
They're on speakerphone. It's like a new It's a Wonderful Life.
The catch, though, Sharon, is that if it goes the distance and the people get married, I get to design the wedding cake.
Oh, the cake.
What's on top of it.
Oh.
Like the scenario of the two, like the groom and bride or whoever it is, I get to figure out what it's going to be. And I will have them. What will it be? It'll be Roxy and David with Robert De Niro as Dirty Grandpa.
Yeah. Right?
On top of your wedding cake.
Probably.
What's that?
And Zac Efron, too. I mean.
And Zac Efron, sure.
Yeah, yeah. Not as important, but.
No. What's that movie like?
It was brutal. I mean, parts of it were tolerable, but most of it was not.
Have you figured out what's happening on top of the cake yet?
I think their Dirty Grandpa, because he judges he participates in like a hard body contest at one point.
Yeah,
Yes, they do.
I think you guys on the cake, it's a little marzipan figure of you and David, mm-hmm. who's next to you, mm-hmm. watching Robert De Niro as Dirty Grandpa, shirtless in his hard body contest scene, and you're judging. And he's just about to launch, like, his jock strap. So just snap it at the two of you, which I'm sure he did in the movie.
I love that, but what if he was lifting us?
Look, I think that sounds more doable in marzipan.
That he's lifting them?
Yeah, your whole scenario, that was a lot of...
Sounds like multiple
frames.
I don't
think you could make that in marzipan.
I think he's doing it with the cake.
I have to just say... I think Hayes just designed, it'll be the wedding cake, that there's just a whole lot of wedding cake left over at the end of the night. Because then people are just like, I don't know if I want any of the cake.
It becomes a question like, can you actually take this cake back after the wedding? It's in such perfect condition.
Now, Roxy.
Yes.
First thing I ask, just be honest. If something's going on and I'm going to get a chance to design a cake, don't deny me that. 6 months later, you're together. I got to just say, the facts are the facts. It's starting to add up. And look, I'm not going to pry here.
He's sitting right next to me. You can ask him.
Okay.
Get a little closer, David. Get right next to the phone so you both can hear. Look,
is there any smooching? Is there any smooching going on in this relationship?
There's no smooching. There's a tombstone pizza.
We're drinking vodka and lemonade, and I brought a frozen pizza. Mm-hmm. You know, Tuesday, that's just tradition.
Where in Los Angeles do you guys live?
I live in Highland Park.
Highland Park? Yeah, of course.
Right?
I'm in Echo Park.
Yeah.
I live in Marc Maron territory.
Okay. Nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that.
So what do you got for the topic, Roxy?
We had a few.
But Tom, what about fictional characters?
Fictional characters.
My first choice was AJ Soprano, but maybe even the actor
Robert Eiler.
I don't want to be hanging. The Robert Eiler. I don't.
I mean, somebody probably is having to deal with that situation right now.
Right now, yes, right now, Robert Eiler is saying, I sure wish I wasn't handcuffed to this
actual criminal.
Yeah.
Go ahead. We also thought maybe Hulk Hogan.
Hulk Hogan is pretty good. The idea of that clown
sweating
all over you.
He's
right?
So rich.
So orange. I'll believe it if he gets any of that money.
Wasn't that great when they were like, I mean, just, it's really the most awful thing ever, but they asked for $110 million from Gawker, and the judge was like, no, you get $140 million.
Yeah.
Has that ever happened before?
Yeah, just like. Yes, Hulk Hogan is six on the list.
Six?
Six, yeah.
Wow.
Good.
Oh, yeah, that's like,
I feel good about that. I just didn't.
Right?
That's
six. Just couldn't you picture him just like, dumb headband. Hey, help me fix He's got always adjusting his headband, and your arm has to go up now to his head as he's like constantly fixing his accoutrement.
And also that he'd probably does he still have that mustache?
Oh
thing?
Yeah, then he's so brushing.
You'd have to brush that and keep it trimmed.
Time to dye it too.
He's right? Always saying the word brother.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, brother.
Time to dye my mustache, brother.
Brother,
hand me that mustache dye. Like you're applying blonde mustache dye to his.
Yeah,
like
you put the mask over his whole face except for the mustache and dip it in like a your peroxide arm. Bath.
Oh, and also he'd be doing weights, you'd have to do weights with your.
So you'd have one bulked
you'd
up
have
arm.
One massive arm
because you because Hulk Hogan had to do his workout. Anything else, guys?
I think that's it.
I think that's it. Yeah, that's all we got.
Be truthful is all I say.
You guys have got chemistry. I can. Right? I can hear the chemistry.
It works. It just works.
I will say, at the very least, you sparked a very nice friend connection.
Yeah, you did.
You want more though?
Yeah, there's smooching going on.
Wants to see Grandpa Wedding Cake so badly.
No, I want you guys to be happy and honest with yourselves so badly.
Just do that thing tonight where you both take off your clothes. Don't do anything. Just take off your clothes.
Yes, I think
and
that's
stand
fair.
A few feet away from each other and then walk slowly towards each other. Don't touch. And then see how close you can get and then the next day call each other up and we live it.
I gotta say.
I appreciate the advice, guys. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks so much.
I hope it's not awkward.
They want that to happen.
He wants it.
Right?
He wants it, I can tell.
I know. I can just hear it. Just fall in love already. What's so wrong with that?
I thought you were going to say that if they marry, then you get to design her wedding dress. And I wondered, would it be navy?
It'd be blue. It would be a blue polo shirt. It would be a blue pants.
A polo neck dress. Or just a very long polo shirt with a train.
Exactly.
With a veil.
Yeah.
Made of polo shirt material.
I'll be there like, I'm thinking something in a navy polo type theme for the wedding. And then the groomsmen can also wear like maybe navy polos and... It's a uniform.
How many do you have?
Oh, how many do I have? I don't know if there are any that I don't have.
It's like a rotating dry cleaner.
I might have all of them. There might not be any other navy polos out there. They'd send them to me. I get right of first refusal on them when they make new ones. I say how many I'm not going to take, and then everyone else can buy those. I'm here with Sharon Horgan and Hayes Davenport. Now, all right, let's go back to the phones. Oh, it's actually time. I actually do have something. This is a little different. It's exciting. Let me give a little preamble to who my guest is right now. He's actually on the line. Hayes, you know I've been doing this this new best show theme thing over the past few months, and you know we've actually been getting some pretty good submissions from a bunch of different people. Kurt Vile's actually working one up, and I know Coco from Coco Hames was working one up, and. And we actually have a chance tonight, one of the submitters, who I actually do not know personally, but the email from his manager sounds very promising. So, he's actually going to do his live, and I was told to just read from his bio here. His name is Dayton Jessups, and, okay, here it is. Wow, this is long. Dayton Jessups is a true American original. Though he made his name playing in East Texas honky-tonks, making genre-defining Americana records of his own, and recording with such legends as Merle Haggard, Johnny Cash, the Super Soakers, and more, Dayton has found even greater success in the world of film, writing and directing such movies as Sons of the Damned, The Woods, and The Final Incantation. Dayton is a modern Renaissance man in the same vein as Viggo Mortensen, Steve Martin, Bono, Jimmy Carter, Clint Eastwood, George Foreman, Seth MacFarlane, James Franco, and Dayton's mission. I can't read the mission statement here. You get the picture for this.
No, man, read the rest of it.
What's that? No.
Read the rest of it. Come on.
Dayton, I can't. It's just like five more paragraphs of this.
All right. Well, maybe you'll read the rest of it later.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
You really should. It's really informative.
But it's very long. It's very long, Dayton.
Well.
You know, but look, you're here for a reason.
That's right.
You did a theme song, and I would love to hear it. We'd all love to hear it. And can you play it for us?
Yeah, sure can. Hang on there. I got the phone under my ear here. This might be a little unwieldy, but I'll give it my best shot, all right?
Okay.
You know, I was very blessed to have gotten to play on a few of Merle Haggard's albums in the early 2000s, and man, what a trip that was. It's an honor. You know, he was such a joy to be around, and he was very complimentary of me and my playing, and you know, I kept saying, Merle, come on, man, I'm not worthy. But you know, old Merle, he wouldn't let it go. You know, he kept saying stuff like, boy, Dayton, you know, those leads you're playing, they're like barbed wire coated with the silkiest, smoothest butter. And then he said, you know, he wished I'd been around when he was making those great country records in the 60s, right? You know, but I said, Merle, you know, I was barely able to stand up at that point. You know, I was just a little baby. You know, speaking of, I just turned 50, and oh man, what a laugh this little SOB from East Texas has lived, right? I have to pinch myself sometimes. So look, anyway, around that same time, I wrote and directed my first film, The Sons of the Damned, and I know it's a movie a lot of you people out there have seen and taken to heart, and I want to thank you all for that, and you know, thank you from the bottom of my East Texas heart. And you know, it's funny, originally I wanted Anthony Kiedis to play the heavy in Sons, you know, but you know, the character is this really brutal psycho shirtless tube sock killer, right? And so I call up Anthony. This is a good story. I call up Anthony, and he says, man, Dayton, I love your idea, Dayton. You know, it's brilliant. It's brave, and it's important stuff, and it's a story that only you can tell, Dayton. But, you know, I'm not really looking to act. You should call Henry Rollins. So I do call Henry Rollins, and, you know, Henry was a little skeptical at first, and I said, come on, man, it's a real movie, you know, it's for Lionsgate, and Bruce Dern's the lead, and we're shooting 35mm, and you know, it's gonna be do pretty good box office right off the bat opening weekend. So you know, Henry, he realizes this is going to be cool, and he's 90% on board, right? But you know, he wants to meet first, so I arranged for him to get a drive-on pass over at Lionsgate, and you know, before you know it, we're in my office at Lionsgate, and we're talking about not only my flick, but you know, his old band Black Flag and the Rollins Band, and even comparing workout routines. You know, it's a funny thing that happened during the shoot. So, see, we're in Video Village, and my good friend and total badass Effie Brown comes by to visit. And she's real nice at first, but then she says, you know, Mr. Rollins, with love in my heart,
hey,
I gotta say.
Hey, Dayton?
Yeah, yeah.
Dayton, can you maybe just, like, play the song?
Hey, what's your deal, son? You know, I'm just trying to let you know where I'm coming from, you know, giving you a little backstory on myself.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not trying to be rude, but it's like, there's a lot of backstory.
Oh.
There, and Yeah, I do have, a couple guests in the studio also, so I want to give more time to them also.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Who you got there?
I have, Sharon Horgan is here.
Wait, from Psycho Bitches?
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's one of the things she's done. But there's, like, other credits, like Catastrophe and
Oh, Poland. Rob Delaney. I like that guy. He's funny.
Yeah.
Follow him on Twitter.
What's
that? She was also in Todd Margaret, right?
Yeah, she was also in Todd where she's here.
So, oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I got to say, this is... when. Hear me out. When I first heard about that show, Psycho Bitches,
mm-hmm.
you know, I thought, oh, great, somebody gave my second ex-wife, Darlene, a TV show.
That's what you thought when you heard that?
I sure did. You know, speaking of, I actually wrote a song about that, and goes a little bit like this, all right? If I only knew when we did it backstage in Tampa, that in 4 years you'd be suing me for custody. I'd be paying your way through accounting school and sleeping in my car. I'd have never ordered those Jaeger bombs that night. And the chorus goes, you smoked my wiener like it was your last cigarette. Oh, and then you stubbed it right out on my heart.
Oh. That's terrible.
Now, I know you're from Ireland. Is that correct?
Yeah.
You don't know, you didn't know Phil Lynott, did you?
No, I didn't, sadly. I'm a fan. Did you know him?
No, it's funny that I was listening to Live and Dangerous today, and there's a song on that called Southbound that doesn't really get the credit that it deserves. I was just wondering if you, I don't know, if you might have any, opinion on some of those Lizzie deep cuts. If not, it's cool.
I don't know that particular song, but I am, you know, a fan. He's got his own statue on Grafton Street. I don't know if you've ever wanted
to. He does, really. Yeah, I ain't ever been over there, but it seems pretty cool. Mm-hmm. It's pretty small, though, right?
It's tiny. It's
wonder if it's big enough for a guy like me, right?
Well, you're a pretty big character, Dayton.
Sure am.
I also have, Hayes Davenport is here too, so.
I didn't.
Wait, Hayes Davenport?
Yeah.
Not the writer from Alan Gregory, right?
You're a fan of that show, Dayton?
Oh, I sure am. You know, it's funny, you know, that show only got, what, like 7 episodes before they pulled the plug? Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, that was the first season order. We were splitting it with the Napoleon Dynamite comedy. But, yeah, 7 episodes.
Oh, man, what a crime. You know, I thought the adventures of an unlikable kid working his way through grade school presented an infinite number of storylines, but I guess the network didn't. And I'll tell you, how could they miss with a name like that? Alan Gregory conjures up all kinds of intriguing stuff, right?
Yeah, that was not his full name. That was just his first name was Alan Gregory. That was kind of a joke that he had this kind of weird first name, but I'm glad you liked it. That's great.
Oh, I loved it. You know, and I often find myself pondering, you know, what must have happened to Alan and the rest of the gang, like Jeremy, Ian, Gina Winthrop, Richard, Principal Gottlieb, who else? Babatunde.
Wow, Ian, I barely remembered. He was like, I guess one of just the kids at the school. You must have really been a huge fan.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I loved it. Loved that stuff.
Yeah. Hey, Dayton.
We
really do need to keep the show kind of on point here. Can you just maybe please play the song?
Hey, you know what? You need to cool out. You know, maybe like pop a Lone Star, take a sip, and chill the F out, brother. That's what I'm doing right now.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, sparking a little doob, too.
Okay, sure. A little bit of God's Green Herb.
That's right.
Right?
Chiba. Everyone's smoking Chiba. Remember that song? It goes by the Donnas.
The Donnas, everybody's smoking Chiba.
Remember that?
I don't.
Good song.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. All right. I don't want to waste your time. I guess I'm, you know, you're a big shot. I don't want to waste your time. So,
I have guests here. It's just.
Okay. All right. Well, sit back and enjoy because here comes that theme song.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right, so in 2004, you know, I'm headlining a show of my own in my adopted hometown of Austin, Texas, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, my God, what a great night that was. Couldn't have been less than 1,000 people there. A truly humbling experience, you know, I tell you. When I moved there in 2004, the people of Austin, I'm not exaggerating. They took me into their arms like I was one of their own. And I tell you, to be voted Americana Artist of the Year in the Chronicle 4 years running, truly humbling again.
Oh, okay.
So look, anyway, you know, when I got home that night from the gig, there's a message on my machine. It's Eli Roth, and he's looking for me. He says he's been listening to my album Chain Wallet Troubadour.
Mm-hmm.
Just riff a little bit. You know, and he thinks my music would fit perfectly on the radio in this movie that he's just finishing called Hostel.
Yeah.
So I said, you know, I'm in first position to direct this movie, The Afflicted, for Miramax.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Harvey loved what I did with Sons of the Damned. And he's got a holding deal with Benicio to star in this damn thing, right? So I can't lose that. And this is crazy. Eli goes, no way, Dayton, I'm playing Grizz in The Afflicted. You know, Grizz is this small role in the film. It's got maybe like two sides worth of screen time. And, you know, Eli, he's actually a really good actor. You know, and you need look no further than his portrayal of the Bear Jew in Inglourious Basterds. So Eli, he convinces me that I'll have time to write songs for Hostile and prep The Afflicted, right? So before you know it, this guy from East Texas, he's on his way first class out to Hollywood to write songs at the Chateau Marmont. Yeah, what a crazy trip for this humble boy from Texas. You know, quick side note. On the flight, also in first class, is Josh Brolin, right? Oh, I dropped my pick.
Okay, you're right there.
I picked it out. There you go.
Okay.
And we get to talking, and I play him a song from my then-current album, Slick Back Hair and a $2 Beer.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Yeah.
You've heard it.
Sure.
And the song I played for him is this nice country ballad called Miss Elizabeth Pimento Cheese Sandwiches.
Uh-huh.
I'm getting choked up just thinking about
sure.
it, Todd.
It's very emotional. Sounds very emotional.
It's about this golden-hearted woman from the other side of town who essentially raised me when my mama was overseas with my daddy on Texaco business.
Yeah.
You know, Miss Elizabeth used to call me Mr. Dayton. And the chorus of the song goes, Mr. Dayton knows you're up in heaven, Miss Elizabeth. Fixing those pimento cheese sandwiches for Jesus, JFK, and Elvis.
Uh-huh.
All right, so anyway, Josh, he loves the song, right? And he goes, Dayton, this is the work of a true Americana visionary. And he says he's going to play it for the Coen brothers, you know, and if they like it, maybe they'll put it in this film that they're working on. It's called No Country for Old Men, right? And sure enough, it gets in the movie. It's playing in the background several scenes, and it's in part of the closing credits. And before you know it, those checks come in, and yours truly is the humble owner of a fleet of pristine vintage 1950 Thunderbirds. All right, but back to my Hollywood songwriting
right? Yeah.
So Eli, he puts several of these scary, spooky country horror songs that I wrote in his soundtrack for Hostel, right? Man Alive, the thing's a big blockbuster. Does 19 mil opening weekend. Eventually, it comes up to 84 million, right? So I call Eli and I say, man, I'm grateful for you loving my music. To put it in your flick, right? But now I'm worried people are going to think that's the only kind of stuff that I write, these kind of horror country songs. And Eli goes, and this is classic Eli, he goes, Dayton, is the mailman stuff in your mailbox with fat checks every couple months? And I go, yeah, Eli, you sure the hell is, right? And Eli goes, well, Dayton, you just shut up, cash those checks, and buy a couple more of them Texas ranches. Which leads me to another part of this.
Okay, all right, this is wait, this is just so off target now. You're telling stories, sidebars of sidebars of that have the, I mean, what about the theme song?
Oh, I was getting to that. Hey, you know, Eli's directing this new Death Wish reboot with Bruce Willis. Did you hear about this?
Yeah, I did hear about it, but it just...
How do you think that's going to go?
I don't care how it goes.
I guess the big question is,
yeah.
Maybe you guys are both in the industry too, Sharon and the other guy.
The other guy, okay.
Do you think he's going to make Bruce wear that hat, that knit cap?
The knit cap that Bronson wore?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. Do you think he'll?
I don't know either.
I guess the big question that we're all wondering is he going to say the line?
What line?
The line.
What's the line?
Todd, I think you know what the line is, right?
Todd.
Tom.
Oh, Tom. Sorry about that.
Todd.
Yeah. I'll write that down. Todd. Okay.
Okay, yeah. What's the line?
It's the greatest line in the history of cinema. It's when the guy's going to shoot Charles Bronson.
Yeah.
And the gun jams.
Oh, and he goes, it's not working, kill the MF-er.
That's right.
Yeah.
Kill the what?
The MF-er.
Kill the MF-er.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's from Death Wish 3.
I know, the best one.
Yeah, the best one.
Yeah.
Look,
they only had like 100 yards of set to work on for the entire movie.
Yeah, look. Hey, are you going to play the song or not?
Yeah, I'll play your damn song, all right?
Yeah, the theme song. That's why you're on.
Okay, well, here you go. Here you go. Rudy toot toot and toot your flute while you listen to Todd and the Great Show. What do you think?
Wait, that's what we waited this whole time for? Rudy toot toot.
Toot your flute.
Toot your flute. The show has nothing to do with flutes. And then you called me Todd again.
Oh, I forgot to write it down after Sharon corrected me.
Yeah, and the Great Show, the best show, Rudy Toot. That's that you.
No, it's the Great Show. I'm positive.
I liked it.
You liked it?
Yeah, I liked Toot Your Flute.
It gets to the point, right?
You like the Toot Your Flute? Oh, look, you didn't get my name right. You didn't get the name of the show right. Oh.
You're just nitpicking right
now. No, I'm not nitpicking. It just
you got a problem with me.
I have a pretty big problem with you. Is you keep passing yourself off as like this humble hick from East Texas, and all you've done is like name drop celebrities and use industry lingo. You're just to just brag about every one of your successes as a filmmaker and a musician, you know. I'm not even going to get into that song about Miss Elizabeth and the pimento cheese sandwiches. Like, that was so, that's like offensive. You know? And, like, your father was like you said something about him being like a Texaco? A bigwig at Texaco?
Look, that ain't none of your business.
Well, you mentioned it.
Well, you know, maybe that was creative license. I don't know.
Uh-huh. Yeah, was it?
No.
Yeah, so it's true?
Yeah, it's true.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
so your dad was like a big wig for Texaco.
Yeah, it's kind of like vice president. Not that it matters.
Yeah, not that it matters.
Matter.
But you're passing yourself off as you're just like this country bumpkin, and you're just,
You know what? My manager said you'd be a flagrant F-bomb of a D-bag, and he was right.
Okay, sure. Okay, your manager.
Yeah.
The guy who put this entire just colossal waste of time together.
Hey, don't you speak ill of him.
Uh-huh, yeah. Your manager, it says K.M. Dupree's your manager?
That's right, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, he's a great manager, and he's got an incredible stable of game changers like me.
Like you. Who else does this great managers of yours represent?
Oh, well, off the top of my head, he's got Courtney and Hutch.
Who's Courtney and Hutch?
Well, Courtney and Hutch, it's a country folk magic duo consisting of supermodel Courtney Stodden. Oh, you know of her. She's great. Very talented. Uh-huh. Yeah, and her brilliant actor husband, Doug Hutchison.
Courtney and Hutch.
I know Sharon's laughing right now because she knows that Doug is so vital and energetic. And the two of them are like a whirlwind of inspiration.
Uh-huh.
I'll tell you, man, I almost teared up when I saw those touching photos yesterday of Doug and Courtney.
She's with child.
Hold on, I got to see this. There's photos of them?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Hold on.
I'm looking at them right now.
Oh, that photo is, that's horrible.
It's man and his child bride.
Oh, she's 21, he's 56.
Hey, if it works for him, it works for him, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It's gross. Uh-huh.
You know what? KM has already signed the baby to a management deal.
The unborn baby.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Big things ahead for that little shaver.
That's gross. Who is that it on the roster? You and Courtney and Hutch?
No way, son. You listen up. He's also got Gene Ray Simmons.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Who is Gene Ray Simmons?
Yeah, Gene Ray Simmons. That's Gene Simmons' country persona.
Oh.
Yeah, his songs consist of country versions of Kiss songs like Horses in Waiting, The Farm Giveth and The Farm Taketh Away, I Love It Country, Calling Dr. Silo, Des Moines Country City.
I don't want to. So, Gene Simmons
I
want
to rock and roll all night and bale hay all day.
This is terrible.
Oh, man. Oh, wait till you hear Robbie Lee Blake.
Who is Robbie Lee Blake?
That's Robert Blake's country persona.
Robert Blake, the actor who...
Don't say it.
Allegedly.
That never got proved.
Okay, allegedly. You happy?
I am happy.
Uh-huh. Murdered his wife.
Hey. Well, to be honest.
Yeah.
Nobody's quite sure what he's actually doing, but they're all scared of it.
Sure, he's terrifying.
Yeah.
Anyone else?
Country Kev.
Country Kev. Well, who is Country Kev?
Country Kev is Kevin Smith's country act.
Oh.
Yeah, he wears overjorts.
What is an overjort? What?
Drop my pick, hang on.
Okay, yeah, get your guitar pick.
There we go, yeah.
What is an overjort?
Well, overjorts, it's a combination of overalls and jorts.
Oh.
He's got a New Jersey hockey logo on the back too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's he doing? Singing?
No, he's making a movie called General Store. It's basically like Clerks, but it's crossed with Hee Haw.
Okay. That sounds awful. Yeah. That's it for the roster?
No, it ain't it.
Okay. Who else?
Duster Diamond?
Duster Diamond.
Yeah.
And what's that? Let me guess. It's Dustin Diamond, the mutant from Saved by the Bell.
Wait, have you seen his electronic press kit already?
No, I have not seen his EPK yet.
Wait, what's that?
Electronic press kit.
Oh, I didn't know you could shorten it. I got to write that down. I've been saying electronic press kit for years.
Yes, you can shorten it there, Dayton.
EPK. Yeah. Okay, got it.
You know, I just realized who your manager is. It's Kenny Dupree, this dimwit I've dealt with over the years. He's a country singer who would call and did a song called Freedom Bombs but was like ready to write country songs like against Bush just if the money was right.
Oh, that's your manager. Really?
Yeah.
Ooh, he didn't tell me about that. I got to ask him about that. Mm-hmm. I would, but I'm scared of him.
Yeah, you're scared of
him. I don't know what he's got under that duster.
Uh-huh. Ugh.
Yeah. Hey, look, I got some new songs that's going to be big hits.
Mm-hmm.
You know, most likely from myself, but I'd be willing to share them with someone else, you know.
Yeah.
Someone I deem worthy, like, I don't know, Florida Georgia Line, they're great.
Mm-hmm.
Or Blake Shelton.
Yeah, okay, I think you've wasted everyone's time.
No, I want to play one for you.
No, I don't want to play a song.
Listen, you little northern fudgeburger! You're going to let me sing my melodies or I'm going to come over there and whip the living pus out of you with my wallet chain. You hear me?
Oh, my God. Fine. Sing. But just play little. Can you just at least play little snippets of the songs?
Why?
Because I don't have all night. You've already talked every one of your stories.
All right.
But I'm telling you, if anything you do is like offensive, I'm stopping you.
All right. Okay, here's one. She got them painted on jeans in the back of my pickup truck. I've had too much whiskey and now I'm too drunk.
Okay, stop.
Oh, you stop? Okay, well. All right, check this one out. I'm a lover, not a fighter. Except when I drink any alcoholic beverage to excess.
Okay, no, I don't like where that's going. Except when I drink any alcoholic beverage to excess. No.
I write from real life.
Okay.
Real experiences.
Yeah, anything else?
All right, yeah, how about this one? Her daddy owns the keys to our house, and she owns the keys to my nuts.
No.
You're never going to guess what happened when I was delivering
line. You dropped your pick.
I saw this incredible thing running by. It was a mouse wearing overalls.
A little country
and
mouse.
And it had a little wheat thing coming out of its mouth.
Kind of freaked you out a little bit.
Did.
All right. Is that it? That's all your songs?
Are you nuts? Of course that ain't all my songs.
Great. Okay.
All right. Here's one I think everybody can identify with.
All right. Let's see.
If I'd known you was gonna leave me, I'd have never done those things for you. Like designing your website and teaching you how to drive stick.
Okay, that sucks.
That's great. That's one of my better ones.
Okay, that's terrible.
That's like Dylan. I think Dylan had a song very similar
about designing websites.
He definitely had a song about teaching Joan Baez how to drive stick.
All right. Oh.
All right, here's one that I know you'll love.
Okay.
You ask me why I am the way I am. And I have an easy answer for you. When I was 6, I saw Mama showing her underwear to the oven repair man.
Oven repair man.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Well, it happened to me, so it's in a song, right?
Uh-huh.
I think a song like that could help a lot of kids.
Oh.
All right, let's get it back in the honky-tonk for a little bit.
Oh,
right?
So you have more of these.
Oh, I got plenty more. Here we go.
Oh, plenty more. Great.
If I'm guilty of anything, it's of loving you too much. And also stealing your checkbook late last night.
That's what you're guilty. You're guilty of loving too much and stealing. Okay, no.
Like you never done that.
No, I've never done it. No.
You never done some like night check writing?
No.
In a cheap motel?
Night check? Or have you ever written a night check, Hayes?
I've never written a check.
Oh man, that gives me an idea for a song. Night check writing in a seedy hotel. Night check writing in a seedy hotel.
No, I don't. That's terrible. Don't work. It's bad enough you're playing like written songs. Don't like write new ones.
Hey man, you're getting the inside scoop on how I carve my masterpieces. All right, here's one I think.
Oh,
here's a little funky one I was working on.
What?
I just got off stage, playing to 1,000 people, and now I gotta hear you talk for 20 minutes about how your coworker's been stealing paper clips out of your cubicle.
Stupid! That's the dumbest one yet!
That's true, though. It actually happened. Happens every night. Jesus.
Uh-huh.
A little bit tired of it, trying to celebrate. And
uh-huh, yeah.
My new lady, Sheila, is... Mm-hmm. She's got problems at work, and I got to hear about them, I guess.
All right.
I guess that's a two-way street.
Well, there's no more.
Oh, I got plenty more. Here you go.
Stop!
I had your body on my mind, and now I'm doing time for vehicular manslaughter.
The worst. They keep getting worse. How do they keep getting worse?
No, they're getting bitter. Oh, there's no way you're not going to think this is the best thing you ever heard.
Oh,
girl, I know you're inconsolable. Because a celebrity you never met died 2 days ago. But please don't lie to me. I know you let Jeff put his bone in your doghouse.
Stop. Nope.
All right, how about this one? Daddy loved all his children, but on his deathbed he said he loved me most because I did it with a solid gold dancer.
Nope. Stop.
Oh, man, all right. Oh, girl, there's one thing you gotta know about me. Before we get married tomorrow, I've been running a brothel out of my guest house.
No, no more, no.
Wait, what was that? Oh, hang on.
What?
What the hell was that?
What?
Oh, my God. Wait. Shh, shh, shh. Oh, I'm looking out the door. Hang on. Some bad amigos out there.
Some amigo. Oh.
Yeah. Oh,
that's offensive. Some amigos.
What's going on? Doing out there?
We're not making any noise over here. Stop shushing us.
They're coming in the house. I'm going to ambush their asses. Getting out my chain wallet.
You're going to fight them with your chain wallet?
That's my wallet chain.
How big is your wallet?
Well, I got a big wallet, Todd, and a big wallet deserves a big chain.
Uh-huh.
All right, you banditos. I got a little song for you now. It goes something like this. Listen up, amigos. I'm going to tell you the story of the Wallet Chain Avenger.
Oh.
Wow.
That was exciting at the end.
Yeah, he's in a fight. He's fighting people with a wallet chain.
I couldn't hear any people, though.
I guess we're just hearing his side of it.
His wallet chain side of it.
That was horrifying.
There some I good
apologize.
Tracks,
I no, apologize. I know the music you like to hear, Sharon Horgan, is not that. You like to hear Metronomy. Right.
I like a bit of Gene Ray Simmons. Mm.
You like Gene Ray Simmons? Oh, no. Best show.
Hey.
Hey.
What's up?
Not a whole lot. What's up with you?
Not much. This is Ian from Nova Scotia.
Okay. What am I supposed to do, cartwheels?
I don't know. Can you do a cartwheel?
Yeah, what do you think?
How are you this evening?
What?
How are you this evening?
I'm great. I'm here with Sharon Horgan and Hayes Davenport.
Oh, I'm a big fan of Hayes Davenport's podcast, Hollywood Handbook, and Sharon and all the things that she does.
Yeah, how's that feel? We all got it once now. I got it at the haunted prison. Hayes got it previous call a while ago, and then you just got it. But you're just used to people knowing who you are.
I'm glad to get it.
It's refreshing.
Keeps me down to earth.
Yeah, exactly. Just if the... what do you want, Ian?
You guys brought up Kevin Smith. That's a pretty good one.
Be handcuffed to Kevin Smith?
Oh, boy.
That'd be pretty rough.
Jeez, the amount of stories he'd be telling with, he'd have to hear that giant spider story, I'd imagine.
Again, him writing the Superman movie again.
Oh, boy.
All right.
And he's not going to skip a night with his wife either. Just because he's hanging up with somebody, he's not going to skip out on that.
Yeah. Oh, and he won't.
Sorry, I had to hang up on that guy. Best show.
Hello.
Hello, who's this?
Andy Kindler's calling.
Andy Kindler. Do you know who Andy Kindler is, Sharon?
I don't. I'm sorry.
Wait, take a second, Sharon. Think. Maybe, you know, search. Maybe something will come up.
No, nothing. Sorry.
This is like
Jewish comedian.
This is like oxygen for me.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Because it's my favorite thing when people don't know who Andy is.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Right,
I'm,
Andy?
I'm going to wiki you tomorrow or the next day.
His name's in red on Wikipedia.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
Friday at the latest, is what I always say.
His name is... You're in red on Wikipedia, right, Andy?
Yeah, I'm not sure what that means. Is it bad? Like I'm in
Unclickable.
It's pretty good. I mean, it's something, but it's not much.
He's very funny.
Oh.
He's a comedian. He's very funny. He's like Rob Delaney crossed with...
Don Knotts.
With Don Knotts. Do you know Don Knotts?
No.
That's why I'm not...
Andy Griffith Show?
Yeah.
He was a Barney Fife on the Andy Griffith Show.
Okay. So I haven't been here very long.
So cross Rob Delaney.
Well, you'd have to have been here in the past, really.
And you know Hayes, right, Andy?
Of course I know Hayes.
Hi, Andy.
How's it going, Hayes?
Oh, things are good.
I got the hotline number. Very excited about it. First, someone played an Ashton Kutcher prank and gave me only 6 of the 7 digits.
Mm-hmm.
And I spoke to a guy named Tony.
And you just kept calling until one of them, you figured the final digit out?
You called a 6-digit number and somebody answered?
No, it was a 7-digit number, but I got only 6 digits right. I usually save these stories for panel. I don't like to, you know what I mean? I don't like to blow it out here on the show.
Andy?
These are panel stories. Yes, sir.
What's going on?
That's my new army guy. Yes, sir. Yes, sir, sir.
I'm going to explain Andy Kindler.
What's going on?
He's so funny. I'm telling you, this is the funniest guy ever. I swear. I see him do stand
up.
Sharon, I'm telling you.
I can't help but fail.
All right. Don't undo what I'm trying to do here.
Okay. Should I do my old man voice? I'm a very old man. Oh, I'm tired because I'm old. Oh. No good?
I like it.
Are you from, England, correct? Or as you say, the UK?
I live in London.
Right. And when I was in London, I noticed that there were two kinds of comedy shows. They were like very urbane, witty. And then you turn a channel on and the guy goes, I got a big old funny anime head.
Oh, I haven't seen that show.
I got an at on me, Ed.
I got a funny at me, Ed, and I'm dancing around.
Does that sound like a British show? At on me, Ed.
Any bells? It sounds good though.
At
no,
on
but
me,
there's the
Ed.
Highbrow, the social commentary, because everything I say is social commentary undertones. Is the highbrow lowbrow? You got highbrow, and then you couldn't go more lowbrow.
Wait, when are you highbrow?
Oh, when I'm doing my jokes, when I say Einstein couldn't come up with a unified... Einstein came up with a theory of relativity, but couldn't come up with a unified field theory. Nice going, Einstein! That's highbrow. You have to know Einstein.
Okay,
you
now
have
that,
to know theory of relativity.
That's highbrow.
You have to know... You know, you have to have references.
When you see this guy do stand-up... I'm sorry, Sharon. When you see this guy do stand-up, the thing is, when you see him... Now you're staring at me too much. Not gonna, we can find a middle ground
I am.
Between you falling asleep or staring at me. There's got to be some space.
Right,
there's got to be between those two poles. It's either this or this. But he's so funny, but then you're like waiting for the show to start, and then you realize, oh, this is the show. It's just him being funny in the moment. Like he keeps talking about how poorly the show is going to do, and you're just laughing and laughing. And then that's the show, though. That's the thing.
That's genius.
He's in the moment.
I deconstruct the deconstruction.
He's like R. Ricky Gervais.
Mm-hmm. R. Ricky Gervais.
Ricky Gervais is, I heard that he's an atheist. I don't know. And I also heard
I think that's just a rumor. I've never.
Yeah. Well, you need to get, you can't just throw statements like that around.
I don't think he'd like that.
Ooh!
Well,
you know what else he likes to do? He likes to say, half of his tweets say how much he doesn't care what other people think of him. That's half his tweets. And then he also says, a couple of weeks ago he did this. It was great. He goes, I'm going to go out. He's such a seasoned stand-up that he announces when he goes out and does sets. He goes, I'm going out for New Topical Tuesday, and some of these jokes are so offensive, even I'm offended by them. That's the kind of tweet he'll do over and over.
He's a humble guy.
Mm-hmm.
He really is.
Mm-hmm. He's a good
He looks at Donald Trump, and he says, that guy seems self-effacing.
Andy Kindler.com, yes?
Yes, AndyKindler.com is still up. And by the way, the 2004 tour dates have been taken down.
The 2004 dates are finally off the site.
Everything now.
You finally got
you
in touch
there,
with that webmaster who.
My webmaster's retired, and he uses a fill in the name of an old computer, Commodore. He uses a Commodore 6400 before Lionel Richie.
Uh-huh.
Hello?
Yeah.
Yes. No.
We're all still here.
No, Andy, when are you performing live? Give me some live dates here.
Oh, Tom, why do I preface? You know what I can't stand when people do now? And maybe some people, I don't know, when people start a sentence with so, as if we've already been talking about it. So you asked me about my live dates again.
What about your live dates?
So I'm on the road, so it makes it seem like it's more conversational. That was a terrible example of anything. Acme Comedy Company.
Yeah.
July 12th to the 16th. Go to Ticketmaster.com and ask for Aerosmith. And then I'm at the Just for Laughs. It's not about plugs, but I'm at the Just for Laughs Festival Montreal where I deliver my scathing State of the Industry speech.
Yeah, he does a State of the Industry speech where he just rips people left and right. He just gives them the business. Really, he's.
You want a sample?
Yes, I do.
Okay, Louis C.K. wrote to his fans, and because he's so rich, and you know, and on his show, like he always keeps you guessing. Like the first year of Louis, you liked it because it was funny. Boom, he goes a different way. So, boom, you like comedy? Boom. How about now? Shocked? You're welcome. Oh, where'd you? Oh, is it laughs you were looking for? Not gonna find them. So the first year his wife was white. The second year she was African American, and next year she's gonna be a throw pillow. His wife, just to go all French independent director. Well, he wrote a letter to his fans, and he told us, and he compared Trump to Hitler in the media because he's such a genius, Louis C.K. And his fashion sense is American Gervais.
Yeah. Black t-shirt.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tom loves when I launch into what sounds like 30-year-old material.
Yeah.
But he wrote a letter to his fans and he compared Trump to Hitler. And my claim is because he's rich and he's the big media darling, I've been comparing everybody to Hitler for many years. I said Dane Cook was like Hitler, except at least Hitler had a point of view. And it's that kind of stuff.
At least Hitler had a point of view. And this is
he also told his fans not to vote for Trump. And I certainly hope the people who download Horace and Pete don't vote for Trump like they were going to.
Did you watch Horace and Pete, Andy?
No, because for very stereotypical Jewish reason. I'm going to pay per episode for a thing? What am I, Rockefeller? I probably, you've watched it, right?
I didn't watch it yet, no. Feels a little homeworky to me. Right.
Well, you could get the whole series. Okay, you don't like it by the episode, now you can get the whole series. It's deadly serious. It takes place in a bar. It's really darkly lit. You have to shine a flashlight on the screen. See what's going on. There's no comedy, because that would be wrong.
Oh, Andy.
Oh, I love you, Andy.
See?
Oh, thank you. You know how hard I worked to get you on my side?
It always wins.
I was on your side from the start.
Kindler wins in the end.
I've got your tour dates written down.
Yeah, so.
Well, I love how I want someone who has no idea who I am to instantly love me.
Andy, yeah, I love you. You know I love you, and I know you.
Without you, there would be other people, but it wouldn't be as stable.
Well, we will talk. I'll talk to you soon. I'll talk to you soon, yeah. No, you don't have to go, but
you,
I'm going to hang
love
up
it.
On
I
you.
Love you, Hayes.
Bye, Andy.
Are you going to do Hollywood Handbook?
We've been corresponding for a while. We're trying to nail down a time, right?
I screwed up. Seriously, my cat, my dog ate my ability to properly return people's emails. No, I really dropped the ball on it. But then you haven't been doing it for a while, or I'm ready.
I've been out of town, but lots of people are clamoring to get you on the show, Andy. We would love to have you.
All right, buddy.
For the first time in my life, Siri spoke to me after 5 years. Wonderful.
Maybe.
What's that?
When you're out here, you let me know. Come on the show. Come in.
Okay, but every phone call ends the same way, like my new stage name, Fizzles.
Okay.
I love you guys.
Bye, Andy.
Bye, Andy.
What a thrill.
Wow.
He's so funny.
I love him so much.
You're
going to
love him. You watch his stuff.
Grant's going to follow him on tour like Widespread Panic.
In L.A. Just seeing him around in L.A. And he's so funny. He starts the thing and then just starts dismantling it as it starts. And then it's like...
just suddenly over.
And then an hour went by and you can't help. You're dying laughing and you realize... that he didn't start.
It never started.
What he said he was going to start. Well, I'm going to say we have a couple minutes left in the show. Sharon Horgan.
Yeah?
Thank you for coming.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Did you have an okay time?
I had the best time. I had a great time.
You're so great.
I'm sorry I was jet lagged.
No, don't worry.
Sorry about my sniffles.
Don't worry.
Sorry about my ankle clicking. Did you hear it?
It's like on the mic, it's ear splitting. I'm sure people at home are just like, what is that?
They're rebooting their computers because they're just like,
I can't tell if you're joking.
No, I can't hear it at all. Do it now.
Wait.
Yeah, I did hear. I did get that one.
That's
actually
new. That's because of Austin.
That's post that's post trampoline.
That's post muscle relaxing champagne trampoline.
Now, do you think that was the most American thing you've ever done? We've talked in Texas, on a trampoline.
Drunk on a trampoline?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty.
You are one-third American.
That got
now.
Me my visa partway sorted.
The U.S. government was just like, you're here, we're going to spot you 7 years.
I can vote here now.
That's how we won the war. All the British soldiers.
Yes. Had to... Let me take a couple calls, then we'll say goodnight. Besho.
Hello. How are you doing, Tom?
Good. Real fast. Go.
Good. This is Jonathan from Toronto. Are we still doing the topic?
Yeah. What do you got? Real quick. Come on, Jonathan.
Well,
Run.
Wait. You're missing obvious.
Okay,
then
say it.
Yet? What?
Oh, I'm going to hang up
on
you.
Oh, who? Just who? Who?
Yeah, just say
it. I said Mike Love.
Mike Love. Sure, yeah. Let's put Mike Love on the thing. 50. Gary Busey's
right.
50. Put Mike Love 3. That's how much movement there is on this list. Okay, is that it, champ? Goodbye. Best show. Nah, you're too slow on the draw. Best show.
Yeah, how about the guy that's Burt Reynolds' stunt double in that new movie? You learned that.
Wait, who?
Burt Reynolds is filming a new movie, I guess, before he kicks off, and he plays this old guy.
You're charming. aren't you the charmer? Man, Burt Reynolds is doing a new movie before he kicks off. Yeah, how dare he still draw air after all the entertainment he provided everyone? You might be the... That's like the most... heartless thing I've ever heard, right? Go ahead, but I want to hear more of it. Go ahead.
Well, he cannot walk long distances because he played football when he was young and he did his own stunts in his own movie, so he needs a wheelchair to get around. So they have a stuntman doing everything, and he's wearing this rubber mask complete with the Burt Reynolds toupee and everything, and it looks freaky. It looks nothing like him, and the mask doesn't even fit the guy, but I guess they're filming at long distances.
You don't want to be handcuffed to him.
You do. You look, to be fair to this guy, I don't want to be handcuffed to a guy in a rubber Burt Reynolds mask either. You're in pure playing by the rules of the game. You're great at this game, but you've got a really crummy world, like a really crummy spirit to you. Just say that thing again. I want to hear you say it one more time about Burt Reynolds before he kicks off. I don't even know your name. What's your name?
My name's Justin.
Where are you calling from, Justin?
Philadelphia.
Okay, Phil, yeah. All right. Sure. Big shocker. Go ahead.
No, don't read too much into that. I know Philadelphia, you're right. It is the angriest city you've ever been to. I know. Believe me, I agree with that, but I'm not one of those people. I guess it was. I'm a bit blunt. I can't help that. But,
yeah, yeah, a bit blunt.
But he's filming one more movie, you know, before he kicks off. He wants to give it one more go around.
All right, it's lost it. Lost it. You had it. You lost
diminishing it. Diminishing
return. Best show.
Hey, Jason Mann from Project Greenlight.
Jason Mann, the director on Project Greenlight.
His hand. No handcuff he can't just slip out
yeah,
of.
Just like, oh, handcuffs. Yeah.
Just like, yeah. Fold his hand into like a stick and just like, swarp it right out. Use his fingernail to unlock yours to.
First, and it would be.
That's so funny.
Really cold to a picture. So yeah. They're like, oh, his handcuffs are freezing. This metal is
it's conducting his gold.
Yeah, like he's got like reptile blood. Thank you. Perfect. Jason Mann, 17. Best show.
Tommy boy.
Goodbye. Nobody calls me that. Best show.
Hey, it's Richard from Middle Village, Queens.
All right. What do you got? Go ahead. Real
hey,
fast.
Tom, it's Richard. It's the guy who made your Cronut costume.
That's right. Yes. You made a costume for Mike where he was a superhero, Captain
yes.
Cronut. The
yes.
Dumb, maybe the dumbest moment in the history of the entire show.
I was going to say Chumlee from Pawn Stars.
Yeah, that's a good one.
You know he
11.
Smells, and plus he's awful.
Yes. Perfect. Richard, thank you. 5-star call. I want to tell everybody this Saturday, June 25th, Prove It All Night, Pat Burns' live show returns in the live setting at the WFMU Performance Space, 9 p.m. It's $5 to get in. The Everyman, a really great band, will be playing. Christy Chiello, Psychic Bayos, and surprise guests. It's really great. If you're in New York or New Jersey, go see Pat Burns' live show. It's on WFMU every Saturday night, but they do the live show from the FMU Performance Space. Go check it out. You get more information where, Pat? At Prove It Show. Great. Thank you.
I thought of a good one.
What's that? Who?
The Lohan family. All the Lohans.
So like a chain gang.
Yeah. A circle of handcuffs.
Yeah. Like a Lohan centipede attached to...
A Lohan centipede.
Attached to a handcuff. That's
yeah.
Number one? No? You don't have to. How long does this competition last?
Look, do they ever end? Does this
I
ever,
don't know.
This never ends, Sharon.
This will come back round again.
Oh, yeah.
How many spaces have you filled? I'm worried you haven't filled
we
them
We spilled
all
like
up.
Seven. This will go on
oh, okay.
For okay. 14 years, probably. 11 spaces were
oh,
filled
okay.
tonight. Not the most productive list we've done in the show's history. Dump all these calls, Mike. They can call next week. I'm done. Everybody's got to go home. Hayes Davenport, thank you.
Oh, Tom, it's always a real pleasure.
Hollywood Handbook every Tuesday comes out.
Maybe you'll be on it again soon.
How many episodes have I done? Six?
At least.
I'm the number one guest, right, in the history of the show.
You lapped the number two guest.
Yeah. But number one, even if I did one, it's one episode, I think I'd still be
yes,
like
that's right.
Number one. But I've just earned it now. Am I honorary third chair on it? We can say it at this point.
If people are asking for that. I don't know if I'm ready to declare honorary third chair yet.
I don't want honorary third chair. What I do want is everybody to listen to this song by one of my favorite bands, Real Estate. We'll be back next week. Thanks for listening. Thank you, Sharon Horgan. Thanks, Hayes Davenport. And, yeah. Bye. I didn't mean to say it like they say it on Hollywood Hamilton. That was not what I meant.
Don't think I didn't notice that.
I'll say, my friends, Tuesday has now become Wednesday. I don't want to go, but I got to go. The Best Show will be back next week.